The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Okay.
He gives the ball. No, he doesn't. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please. Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Andy's already railing. It has nothing to do with football. It has to do with Eric Scalavino's vacation days. But no, we're back.
He no longer works here, does he?
This is officially the first week of training camp here at Gillette Stadium. Public practices open on Friday. Rookies are already here. Conditioning run happens on Thursday. We are back.
Gronk's on PUP already.
Yeah, Gronk, Jake Ballard, and I was interested to find out that Armin Armstead is on a non-football injury
non-football
list.
Illness list, which I am not even familiar with.
You know, this list that we don't even know about.
Apparently, whenever you write NFI, it's not always injury. It can be illness.
Anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock, talking Patriots, as we always do, on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the offseason. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Andy's here. Paul's here. Fred's here. Kevin's in the booth. We're ready to go. And so, guys, are you feeling it?
Sure.
Yeah?
I think I'll feel it more after Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think Wednesday, Bill, and probably should mention, Bill Belichick's going to address the media Wednesday at 2.
2 o'clock.
So, obviously, the assumption is that'll be very much Aaron Hernandez related.
Yeah.
After that, then we can kind of turn the page to just football training camp, who the tight end is, who the backup receiver. The Hernandez thing's still sort of hovering over.
Well, it is.
Good move by the organization, I think, getting out in front.
Oh, God, yeah.
Let Bill talk before camp starts, and then you know, assuming that he has a semblance of answers to the questions, and I'm not expecting him to pour his heart out, but that now on Friday, like Andy says, you can ask questions about the backup tight end, and he, you know, and if anybody asks about Hernandez, he can rightly say,
right,
we've moved on.
We had an entire press conference, essentially.
We talked about that on Wednesday. Training camp starts today. We've moved on.
Do you think that there's any chance that Bill says, you know, Robert Kraft spoke about this, and he speaks for the organization of which I'm part of, he speaks for me.
That won't go
well. Do I think there's a chance that happens?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I don't think that would have gone well. I don't think that would have gone well Friday. I think it'll go even worse on Wednesday because you've called a special press conference. You don't normally do a 2 day before press conference.
You don't?
No. No. So I think that would go really bad.
That's one that we needed the audience cameras, right? The cameras that the audience always calls for. We needed that for Freddie's face.
Well, he's having two of them. He's having Wednesday and Thursday he's speaking.
Who? Bill?
Bill.
No. Thursday is captains.
Thursday is
you're right. Captains.
Last year's captains.
Right. Now, Dave, have they done that before?
I don't even recollect that.
I've never remembered anybody being available before the official opening.
Well, it could be for the same reason. If you believe that Wednesdays is to kind of get the Hernandez questions out of the way.
Absolutely.
Thursday could be for the same reason.
Allow your respected veteran leaders to somewhat comment. They're not going to say a lot, even Thursday. But, yes, that's. I think this is all about closing the door Thursday. When we walk away from Tom Brady and Logan Mankins on Thursday, don't ask about Aaron Hernandez anymore. There's 90 players on this team that we're here to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good move. I don't.
So you don't.
I don't even think that they need all of the captains. I think really.
I certainly wouldn't want to be one of them.
No, I wouldn't either. But I really think you only need Brady. But
because Logan Mankins has to stop that. You know the little He can't do the
Yeah.
Like you can't laugh about it. You got to be serious.
And I actually look at it from the media perspective. I'm assuming that we're in a tough spot. We talked about this a little bit. The Hernandez stuff is of the utmost importance. We understand, but. Andy and I are more concerned right now with the backup tight end, et cetera. Do you want to ask Logan Mankins about the offensive line continuity on Thursday? Probably not. And you know what's going to happen is those guys are all going to talk on Thursday, and you're not going to get them for a while.
Right.
Because, we talked on Thursday.
Yeah, but I want to talk football.
Yeah. I mean, Bill, remember, you always want us to keep it to football. I want to keep it to football.
All right, you're a Patriot player, one of the captains. First question, what would you say about Aaron Hernandez? How do you address this subject if you're a player?
It's a great question, the way you posed that.
Andy's shrugging his shoulders.
Well, I just think I would say, obviously it was a surprise to all of us what happened this offseason with Aaron. Regardless of your personal feelings for him, unlike any player, he had friends in the locker room. He had guys that he was close, wasn't close with. But you never expect a teammate is going to be involved with something as dramatic as this.
Yeah, and I assume
when you heard that, how did you feel?
I was stunned.
Shocked.
I was shocked. Never saw it coming.
Yeah, I mean,
does anyone see anything like this
when
coming?
Aaron was here, did you consider him a friend?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Why not?
But there's about 25, 30 other guys on this team that I don't consider friends. I consider coworkers. There are 20 or 25 guys that I consider friends. Anytime you have a large group of people coming together.
What makes one of your teammates a friend and which ones aren't?
Similar interests, views on life, maybe family members, things of that nature. We have similar lives.
What did you see as Aaron's interests?
He was a young player who liked to have fun.
And what do you mean by fun?
He went out.
You're already answering too many questions.
No, he rolled in different circles than I did. I go home to my wife and kids and have dinner.
I don't think he's answering too many questions. I don't think I don't think this will unfold the way that just did. Your little,
I was fine with everything I just
said. Your little improv role playing right there. I don't think there's any chance that it's going to be like that, but I don't think there's anything wrong if it is. I assume that the players can speak with some sort of honesty. And I don't think that every player asked had a real relationship with Hernandez, but I do think some did.
Yeah,
And I think the ones that did should be able to say
I think that the one thing, if there's only one thing, that these players need to be schooled on prior is if the question comes up, did you have any indication that something like this could happen? If the answer is absolutely not, I was shocked, then they're opening up a can of worms. Not just public relations-wise, but legally. So they have to be very careful about
that. Wait, they can't say they didn't see this coming?
They cannot. They have to say, there's no way I would have ever thought this could happen.
You just said
that they can't say that.
They can't say that.
They saw it coming.
Right.
But none of those guys saw it coming.
They have to stick with, I'm shocked.
And that's part of why it's the captains that close the door, because maybe I'm naive here and some of them did see or do things with him, but I don't think any of these guys that are going to speak on Thursday have to fib at all.
But if the Matt,
how much time
if Matt
there's
Light
one player that says like a Matt Light thing, now you've opened it up. Now you've opened it up. You can't do that. You can't do that.
But what if?
We don't even know necessarily what Matt Light was talking about.
But how do you?
That's
answer,
one
you
of
can
the
jump
points.
To a conclusion,
right?
But
that's
I can
the point.
Say we just rolled in different circles. I went home to my wife and kids after practice. This is a young guy with $40 million.
How do you answer that question though? The Matt Light question, if you're a player.
Matt Light's opinions are his own.
But what do you think Matt Light was talking, referring to?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Matt Light.
Yeah. Good answer.
I think you do get away with that. Andy's right.
You
do get away with that.
If there was somebody that, say more stuff comes out and, there's these photos of, any player clubbing with him, multiple times over the last couple of years. Aaron Hernandez, that player, to me, could get himself in trouble, but I don't think any of these captains that are going to speak would ever be that guy.
Right.
So I think it's a safe approach.
Deion Branch might have been that guy, but he's
not
here.
Sure, but he's not on the team.
Right.
And I don't even know if Deion says stuff that I don't think he even means. He's such a nice guy, and anybody who's around him,
right,
he sees as part of my extended family.
Right.
And I think anybody, he was my man. Like, that's just how he talks. I think a little bit of that was overblown.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see how all the questions are.
Can we get back to Bill? How do you guys envision the Bill thing unfolding?
What do you mean?
Is he just going to take questions? Will there be an opening statement? What is the opening statement going to say?
I think both. I think he will have some sort of opening remarks. And I
I think Paul's right. He will have an opening statement because he does that. And then when you ask the question, say, well, I've already said what I have to say.
Just about Aaron Hernandez? Is this a training camp?
But don't you think that that's a mistake if he does that?
No, that's how he's handled it. He's never had anything like this.
I know exactly how he's handled things, and everybody's assuming that's how he's going to handle this.
That won't end well.
Don't you think that that would be bad?
But he does that statement and tries to make it as all-encompassing as he can in a very 50,000-foot level and then refer back to that whenever you ask.
Well, I'm assuming now...
That's going to get awkward. Do you expect it to get awkward?
Yes.
Me too.
Now,
and I think if he does that, it's going to get uncomfortably awkward.
I think he'll have a statement, okay? Now, I'm operating under the assumption that his statement will say nothing like all of his other statements do.
So when he goes
back and says, I've already addressed that, he really hasn't addressed it. Can we assume that? How many times has he said, how are you going to use Tim Tebow? I've already addressed that.
Right.
Well, Bill, no, someone already asked you that, but you really haven't addressed it. I think if he does that kind of stuff with this, it's not going to end well.
Right.
And I don't care about the media. I'm talking about how it's going to be perceived nationwide, nationally. And the way Fred, I think one of the shows that you weren't here, Eric, Andy, and I were talking about this, and the way I sort of looked at it, it's one thing to sort of stick your head in the sand about Spygate, which in the grand scheme of things isn't really very important. It's a sports thing. It was a sports scandal that nationally, people outside of sports didn't really care all that much about. If you act the same way and just stick your head in the sand and say, I've already addressed that, Robert Kraft spoke for the organization, I think that plays badly on, say, potentially the nightly news. I don't think that's an area – I don't think that Robert Kraft wants to look bad on the nightly news.
For some of these questions, he will legitimately be able to hide behind the fact that there's an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a lot of questions that are going to put him in jeopardy of that. Okay. I really don't. I think they're going to be asking him questions about the Patriots and football as
philosophy,
related to
decision-making.
Yes, exactly. And if he just says, I'm not going to get into
it, could come up.
I think Urban
Meyer. Your relationship with Urban Meyer.
You know, we asked last week, if someone wrote in or called in and said, if you guys had one question to ask, and by the way, I won't be asking any questions.
About that.
I won't be asking any questions on Wednesday.
I'll be asking questions on Friday.
Friday, I'll be ready. Wednesday, not so much.
Daniel Fells, is he being disrespectful?
Is he the best third tight end in football, but just an average second tight end?
And really miscast if he's the first.
But Andy and I were saying, Urban Meyer, do you rethink your relationship with Urban Meyer? Like, I don't think that those kinds of questions are things that he has to hide behind legal counsel for.
Right.
Do you feel like you've taken more risks in the draft lately? Maybe he hasn't. Maybe this is exactly the same philosophy they've always used. They've always, seen some guys that have a little rough around the edges. We've talked about it. The NFL's full of them. All sports are full of them. A lot of these guys don't come from the best backgrounds, and some of them have dirt under their nails. You can't avoid them all. You can't just take them all off your board. I think those questions are fair game, and I don't think they're necessarily ones that he has to worry about. Yeah, I don't want to say anything that's going to get put the organization in jeopardy. I don't think people are going to ask him, did you know where Aaron Hernandez's the murder weapon is?
Right.
I don't think he's going to be asked those kinds of questions.
But he could be asked about the, were there any indication type stuff? When Aaron came back that day, what did he do? Did you talk to him that day?
Well, Bill wasn't here, right?
He
wasn't.
I don't, yeah.
He wasn't
he was
here,
in Europe.
But he could be asked if he had any communication with Hernandez, and he says no.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure he didn't.
I don't know.
What if he says yes? I visited him in jail 3 times.
I leave all conversations between myself and the players private.
Yeah. Any conversation I have with convicts.
unless the DA comes a calling.
All right. So there's that, and we'll all be interested on
Wednesday.
But do
you feel the same way that Andy and I do, that this isn't – the run-of-the-mill, I can just sort of defer all questions and not answer anything.
I think by in the first indication of that is this Wednesday press conference.
And the second, Robert Kraft has to feel that way. Your winning can cover up everything else. You can be the grumpy coach who answers no questions and go 14-2, and that's fine for business. If we screw this up, that could be bad for business. The Patriot brand, the next generation of Patriots fans, Patriots jerseys, you know, Forbes. We're number six at $1.635 billion in the world.
Right.
We want to stay there or move up, not go down.
I'll say this, you know, whether or not you think the Patriots should have known or whatever in the risk-taking, but from the point of this criminal act, how the Patriots have handled this from a PR, I think they've done a pretty good job once it happened of dealing with this, you know, from the jersey give backs to Robert Kraft sitting down against legal advice. I think they've handled it pretty well from a PR perspective since the event.
And they needed to.
Yeah.
I think. When you're that highly thought of.
But not all teams do. I mean, some teams make it even worse.
And that's why they're not 1.635 billion. You know.
Right.
The winning has a lot to do with it. Brady and Belichick, obviously, the winning is a huge part of that. But to stay there and to move past that, you're at a point where you need to consider how to handle this and do it properly without alienating fans or alienating the next generation or any of that crap, or being suddenly becoming the Raiders or the Bengals and you have this aura hanging over you of Thugville or whatever. I think this is a, you know, you always say, that's not his decision to pick the successor. This is a Kraft decision, how we handle this.
Yep.
This is not a Belichick decision.
I agree.
This, if you screw this up, it will linger and last longer than you, Bill Belichick, are here, or you, Tom Brady, are here. It will be tied to the Kraft name, not the Belichick name.
Right. And I think that's why Robert Kraft wanted to do that press conference.
Right, but it doesn't end there.
Right.
Whatever Bill Belichick does and says Wednesday, I think Robert Kraft needs to have a voice in it. You know, this isn't, Bill does his press conferences the way he wants to, and that's okay because he's the coach, it's his football team, it's about winning, blah, blah. This isn't about football, this isn't about the field.
No, you're right.
This is about the brand.
And I think,
any team would speak about it, with something like this. And I really don't think there's any reason to shy away from it because, I know I work here, and people look at that and they always say, "Oh, well, those guys, you know, they're on board," and that's true to an extent. But do you know anybody that holds the Patriots responsible for what Aaron Hernandez did?
Yes.
Really?
Well, not what he did, but for having him on the team and signing.
No. That's not what I asked you.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of teams that have guys on their team that people think shouldn't be on NFL teams,
right.
And that's up for debate. I think there's. I feel like that on a lot of guys. You know that. I think there's a lot of guys in this league that if I were in charge of a team, I wouldn't have on my team.
Right.
That's open for each.
For the year and a half you were in charge of a team.
I don't think I would last that long. But that's a subjective thing. I'm talking about Aaron Hernandez has been accused of murder. Have you seen people say the Patriots are responsible for that?
No.
But I haven't seen anybody put the Patriots at fault.
But
that's a
said.
Different that's a different thing. I'm talking about they're responsible for murder. Like, I don't know anybody that says the Carolina Panthers are at fault for what Ray Caruth did. Or anybody that associates even going way back like Buffalo Bills, O.J. Simpson. Like, I don't think it's necessary. It's a bad thing that happened. And it's going to portray the as Andy put it, like, you know, it's Robert Kraft, it's the brand, that's what's going to live on, and people are going to remember that's the team that had a guy who committed murder. But
and that's what they could have avoided, based on what some people think. You should have known more. This could have happened on someone else's watch. You could have said, "We're not going to re-sign him now." Technically, it wouldn't have because he was still playing out. But the should have known more, I don't think, is about preventing the murder. It's about being tied to the guy and for how long you chose to be tied to him and how you chose to be tied.
Well, enabling a bad guy.
Well, I don't even think enabling. I just think being tied to. You should have known this is a guy you shouldn't want to extend your relationship with. It's a guy you should maybe want to cut short your relationship.
I think, though, that...
And that's an argument.
Because I don't think anyone says, well, you gave him $40 million. That means you bought the gun that actually killed... People don't kill people. Money kills life.
That's my point. I think you can make a legitimate argument that... And I said it at the time, if you recall... That I would have waited to the last minute to re-sign this guy. Cause I first of all, my bottom line is I always kind of thought he was a little overrated. Andy just thinks he sucks. I mean,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I do, but not I'm going to really. Always
sucks
use your
as
words.
A superstar.
I'm going to use your it words because, as you say, words have
Patriots
meaning.
Have two special tight ends in Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. No, they have one special tight end.
Well, now.
Well, they have none absolutely. Now. Good point. Now they have none, actually.
I disagree with it at the time, and I'll stick with it. But go ahead, Paul.
But the point is, you know,
wait, you're
I felt
sticking with
I think that's a legitimate argument that they okay. should have. They shouldn't have given him the contract. But that doesn't in any way, to me, make the team responsible. Right. And I don't think people look at it that
as
way.
As I said
people
last
have criticized them for giving him the $40 million to a guy who sort of had these, you know, peripheral ties.
As I said last week, this is an anomaly. This doesn't happen all the time. This isn't one of the things where you make the leap, yeah, he hangs around with bad guys and he's capable of murder.
Doesn't happen
every
ever.
Team has at least one guy, if not more, that hang around with questionable people.
Right. But
every team.
I don't even think it's fair to compare it to Ray Carruth, because Ray Carruth, we see domestic issues that lead to things, love, kids, that leads to things that are terrible and but this isn't domestic. This is it's there's nothing there other than a gang and a hit right. and a this to me is unprecedented on any level.
All right, I see a lot of emails coming
yeah,
in.
It's like the Kansas City guy.
Yeah,
you know,
right. I think
issues.
Domestic.
I can't even remember his name. That guy, just completely the guy who committed
yeah.
suicide. At,
oh, over
for the
in
Chiefs
Kansas
last
City.
Year.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what I said. The Kansas yeah. City guy.
But I think any domestic issue is volatile. It can be a volcano that kind of erupts and goes in a way that it shouldn't
right.
and so ends up terribly.
Involved and,
this
yeah.
is not domestic. This
no.
isn't.
No,
well,
this is.
I mean, we don't really know.
This is cold blood.
No, it could be domestic.
And it's a lifestyle.
I still have my theories that there could be some domestic issues here.
Well,
the sisters and
but
the.
That, for
the
this particular one.
Banging
yes,
and
but
stuff.
For the other stuff that we've sort of
right.
learned.
Those weren't domestic.
This is a lifestyle.
Those
thing.
Were diabolical.
All right. I see a lot of emails coming in, and hardly any have to do with Aaron Hernandez, which means people want to talk about football.
Football.
So let's.
Finally,
the,
football.
Well, the big thing was just that Bill's going to talk tomorrow. That's
Bill's
going to
talk tomorrow. The other. News was the pup list that came out for the Patriots. Jake Ballard, Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, and then
Nick McDonald
Nick,
also.
Nick McDonald had a farm. And then and then Armstead on the non-football
illness
list.
Now, in retrospect, Andy, I mean, I understand it was the 90th guy. We talked about the guy. We'll get to that. You know, that's an interesting aspect, too, the John Drew from yesterday. But it was obviously a defensive tackle they wanted for that. Probably Armstead related. They need another guy for camp because he's not going to be available.
Potentially.
Now, but I was listening to NFL on Sirius yesterday, and they do their on-the-hour updates, you know, NFL updates. And, you know, it was toward the end of the day, and they said, and Rob Gronkowski has been put on the active PUP list, which will make him available for the Patriots' first game, something that Rob has said all along he wants to, you know, be part of.
To my knowledge, Rob has never said that.
When did he say that?
To my, I'll, my.
When did he say that?
My qualifier will be to my knowledge, and I have spoken to him during this offseason. He was at a camp in Peabody.
Was it him or his brother?
Now, I was talking to him. I tweeted a picture of his brother. Just for clarification
right.
purposes.
A-hole.
Thanks.
And the only other time he talked was at that book signing, and we have a transcript of that because it was like four sentences.
Yeah.
When did he say
Roger that?
Roger that.
When did he say I plan to be? My plan is to be part of that first regular season.
I've never heard him say that. I mean,
Suspect Network.
Robert Griffin III has said that about 15 times a week. You know, since he got hurt.
Right.
I've never seen Rob Gronkowski say that.
Right.
Doesn't mean he hasn't said it, but I haven't seen.
So
it.
And you know they didn't cite it. You know, it they said it like it was a. Widely known notion
who's
Rob Gronkowski.
Give me a name. Who's they?
Whoever was doing the update on NFL.com. No, it was. it wasn't one of the hosts. It was one of their flash guys.
Well, they're going to be here, I believe, on Sunday or Saturday. You can have it out with them if you want.
Well, I just. But that's the thing that just gets picked up and says, now, according to NFL,
right.
you know, Rob Gronkowski plans to be ready for the first regular season game.
Words have meaning.
Now, I think he'll be fine, but, you know. I can't cite a source on that other than my own head.
I think he'll be fine, too, sometime in October.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Are you the tight end situation?
Insane?
No. Yes, but the tight end situation. Obviously, we knew Gronk was going to be on PUP because Ian Rappaport broke that story for us. a while back. But Jake Ballard landing on PUP a year and a half after the injury, after running throughout the spring, you know, lining up and taking regular reps throughout the spring. Is that concerning in terms of the next step of that depth at the position? Where, I mean, some people think he's, you know, a superstar in the waiting or whatever you think of him.
Are you going to lob me, a softball?
What?
From what we talked about earlier?
Apparently not.
Andy and I, as you know, Fred, like to pat ourselves on the back. We have no problems doing that while ripping everybody else.
It's true.
The next time, and listen, our fans are very loyal to us when we go on vacation. Oftentimes, they come up to us and they talk to us and they tell us what a great job we do.
Including this weekend at the Southeastern Rhode Island Balloon Festival at the barbecue tent. Nice
Freddie,
to meet you.
This is an example. When we went through the spring and we had OTAs and minicamp, there was a, you know, shall we say a divergent opinion on Jake Ballard. Andy and I were telling you that we didn't think he looked very good. We didn't think he was moving well. We didn't think he was running well. Well, other people, Andy?
You can say it.
Who? Other people?
Who Here was it? Go. I don't even remember.
Pretty much everybody else.
That's what I thought. That's
why
I didn't know.
Can't even be individual
okay,
with this. ESPN Boston, Boston Herald, Boston Globe, everybody. Jake Ballard moving around, looking great. And then people were wondering, well, who's right? And people were asking us, our listeners were asking us, like, well, why am I reading that he was catching A, B, and C? And you guys are saying that he didn't look good. Well, all we can say is it's open to interpretation, okay? But I think that I want people to keep this one in mind because clearly when we were saying that we didn't think he was moving very well, we were onto something. Because a month later, he doesn't open camp on the active roster. And he wasn't taking full part in practices then either, which we had the Pulse story on Jake Ballard when he said specifically, it's not like they're throwing me to the wolves and I'm doing everything out here. He couldn't. Physically, he couldn't. And now he's on the physically unable to perform list. So I just want people to keep that in mind. When there's different opinions on a guy.
We're right.
Yeah, you know, just remember, keep a scorecard. Michael Jenkins will be the next one we'll keep an eye on because that's another guy that Andy and I didn't think was very impressive during the camps, and evidently everybody else thinks, you know, he's the second coming of Larry Fitzgerald.
What's your feelings on Donald Jones getting released over the weekend?
Paul, you have a nice theory on that. Why don't you go with it?
I just figured I just got finished talking a lot, so I can give
you
that one.
When you have a lot of theories, spew them.
My theory is that he may have flunked a conditioning run. Nothing to base that on at all. But the reason that most people were given over the weekend was that he had a $200,000 roster bonus, reporting bonus that he was due. To me, if in March you deemed him worthy of giving him that in his contract, you did so thinking that he was going to be part of your team
right.
or come to camp anyway. He was thoroughly unimpressive in the spring.
Well, could that be simply
he didn't do a whole lot.
You know, we gave it to him when we signed him. From what we've seen in the spring, he ain't worth it.
But
so let's
you
can't
why wouldn't say
you,
that.
So why wouldn't
not?
You just
you just can't.
Why wouldn't you just cut him in the spring then?
Right. Why wait until this
But
weekend?
I don't even
that's
think
why
you
I
could
think
do that.
I that's why
he wasn't like tripping over
no.
Brady's feet and I mean
I agree.
To me, you knew he was a borderline roster player.
Right.
When you gave him said $200,000 bonus to report. You weren't gonna know definitively one way or the other by the time camp started. That was going to be a total waste of money. That he had no, there's no way.
I agree with that.
So therefore,
I
Paul's theory
it.
Of the conditioning run, I think, is very
could
plausible.
Be, or it could be something even more nefarious where he screwed up off the field.
Oh
and,
well, that's a possibility too.
Fred
but
just
I
just took this to an ugly place.
Yeah,
no,
I
we find out years
at a time
later,
when we're avoiding ugly places.
We find out years later about players who got in trouble and got cut. You know.
Yeah, but now you get into well, why is Alfonso Dennard here?
Well, because whatever he did. Is what didn't rise to the magnitude.
Okay, let's
wait
stop
a
with this.
Wait a minute.
I'm not comfortable speculating this.
You think that Donald Jones could have done something worse than get arrested for a DUI and no one knows about it?
I'm thinking that there could be a lot of reasons why he got cut.
There could be.
And I don't know what it is.
I like Paul's better than yours.
For him, I like it better. I hope he didn't get in trouble.
Well, I don't really like the failing the conditioning run either.
Yeah.
I saw somebody last night.
Well,
like
he's
a former
working
player
out
say,
for the Titans and the Colts.
There's never an excuse for a receiver to fail a conditioning run. I saw like an ex-player tweet unless they're like hurt or flat out can't work out.
You know what the run is. You have plenty of time to
prepare. You're skinny and you're supposed to be in shape.
And you go out and do it.
I mean,
like Jacoby Jones failed his.
When Chris Slade,
really?
Yeah. Too much dancing.
When Chris Slade and McGinnis were both on the team, you know, back then we kind of had glimpses of the conditioning run. I mean, these guys made it look easy.
Oh, yeah.
They were out in front of the pack, and they weren't even winded, you know, because they were in shape.
Plus, I just think that if you have to do something like this that's a test, the first time you're doing it shouldn't be when you're under the gun.
Oh, God, no.
You should do it a million times leading up to it.
Right.
And you should know there's no chance that I'm going to not pass this test.
His agent also made clear it wasn't health-related. He has the what was his issue? He has a weird issue.
Oh, yeah, he did. He had something late last year that they didn't know. It was like they didn't know exactly what it was.
Well, his agent tweeted out that that wasn't it.
Yeah, the reason I look at this, Freddie, like a year ago this time, Joseph Addai. Remember him?
Sure.
He was just all of a sudden gone at the beginning of training camp. My guess is that he failed the conditioning run, and they looked at it and said, this guy, he's not ready to start camp. He's a borderline candidate anyway. We don't know what we're going to get out of him. See you.
The story was him that he just quit.
He in the middle of the run.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you quit it or you couldn't do it. I mean, I don't think he quit it if he was on paper to do it well.
But if he had failed it, they might have actually said, okay, well, you have to start on PUP.
But even failing
quit, you're out.
Gives you an idea of this guy's dedication.
Because you don't have to put a guy on PUP if he fails the conditioning run. That's what the Patriots do. That's the Patriots' recourse. I don't think you have to.
I think you have to have consistency. If you deem that part of your physical, it's part of your physical, or it isn't. You can't pick and choose when it's part of your physical.
I mean, you might be right, but
I don't think that's not fair. I'm going on PUP for failing it. You said it was part of the physical. He failed it, and you have him active? That's not right. You could have some consistency.
No. You can't be active, but I'm saying they can just release you. You don't have to put them on active PUP.
And you don't know.
You can't just let a guy say, Brady failed it, but we're going
to
let him.
You have to have some consistency. It's either part of your physical or it isn't.
You'd be the biggest fraud coach ever if you did it. You'd be my high school coach.
You know, like for Joseph Addai, and I don't know if this is the case, but it could be when they signed the guy, he was out of shape, and they said, look, Joseph, we'll sign you, but one of the conditions of you making this team is you got to pass that conditioning run. And months later, he still's not in shape, gone.
Well,
he was supposedly in great shape. He was working out with...
Yeah, everybody has to pass the conditioning run.
No, the ramifications for not making it could be different per guy.
No, I mean, I understand that, but I don't even... Yeah.
Oh, it definitely is. If Vince Wilfork fails it, he's on the team.
I mean, right.
But I'm just looking at it as you have these guys that I'm going to throw this veteran into the mix and see if he can, you know, give us some depth there, you know. And if he doesn't make it, Bill's got in his mind, there's a handful, you know, 15, 20 guys. If they don't make it, they don't pass that test, I'm probably going to cut him. And
some of them could, like Jermaine Cunningham. He could be at the point with a guy like Jermaine Cunningham. If you failed the conditioning run, you're out.
See ya.
I'm done with you. Yeah. You haven't, you know, LeGarrette Blunt, who's on his second chance.
Like, least you can do is be in shape.
Blunt was actually the guy I was thinking of.
Well, he was my selection to start camp on PUP after failing the conditioning run. I still am holding hope, or not hope, but, you know, I like to be right.
Now, I don't know if he has taken it yet.
No, he would probably take it on Thursday.
I don't know. He's a newcomer. So I don't know if he, you know, sometimes they have the rookies and the newcomers and guys coming off injury report earlier and they do it.
Right.
Now, listen, maybe they don't do it like that anymore. Maybe everybody's going to take the conditioning run together tomorrow or Thursday, whenever the day is. I think Thursday is the day that they're supposed to take the run.
Because Drew took it, reportedly.
Yeah, no, that's right. So they probably still do it.
The rookies definitely still take it early.
So it's interesting. I don't know. But
to me, the most concerning, and maybe this is because I just ranked this guy very highly on my roster ranking in PFW, is Armin Armstead.
Right.
It's like, did they just finally check his heart and realize, holy crap, this guy's got a heart problem?
Monitor him for a little bit, see what his rates are in a full practice before they.
But he can't practice.
Yeah. If he's on NFI, he can't practice.
He can do stuff in the bubble, though. And
He can work out. He can train with the trainers.
But he's been doing that all spring.
Right. He practiced in the spring.
He practiced in the spring. I find this one's interesting.
Maybe he's got the flu. I don't know.
But would you put a guy on a list for a flu?
No, I guess you're right. Yeah. No.
Like, matter of fact, concerns me.
I've never seen NFI be anything other than non-football injury, not non-football illness. I haven't really seen this. You all right?
He just swallowed a fly.
No, but it got awful close.
Andy just swallowed a fly.
I don't know why.
Mike from Rhode Island writes in at webradio@patriots.com. Love the show. I've got a question about Ballard.
With him being on PUP, does that mean Sudfeld would step up, get more reps, maybe even contribute this season?
Well, let's not jump to conclusions. Any of these guys could be removed from a list, you know, already. They could be off the list by the wire today.
They could be out there to start camp. They could be out there to start camp. On Friday, they could all be on the field. Now, obviously, Gronkowski, I would be, you know, beyond stunned if he were removed that quickly. But
and Sudfeld's going to get reps no matter what. They're going to see if what they saw with soft hands in the summer in shorts
translates.
I mean, he can do that. And can he stay healthy?
Can he do it with pads?
You stay healthy once in 6 years. Can you stay healthy if we put you out there and bang around a little bit? He's going to get a chance. He's here for a reason.
Chris writes in, who cares if Edelman's on PUP? He's a Jag. Josh Boyce will step up.
Who's the punt returner?
Right. But I will say, well, Leon Washington could be.
He's not nearly as good as a punt returner as
Edelman,
a kick returner.
Edelman's an exceptional punt returner. I'm not saying that he's better, but Leon Washington's an accomplished returner.
He's fine.
So you're better off than you
Edelman's
were last year.
Edelman's the best ever.
I just said I think Edelman's an
best
exceptional.
Ever. Do you know he's like, what was he like, one return away from like the best ever?
He's in that mix.
Yeah, he got hurt before I think they could use the note in PR. He was like four returns from reaching a minimum that was going to make him, I believe, the best ever.
Andy's right.
Average.
He's
that close. I'm not deeming him the best ever.
Right. Deion Sanders is one of the best ever. But,
yeah.
Right.
But his average is, like, is the best, but he doesn't have enough to qualify.
Right.
Andy's right about that. I think he's an exceptional punt returner, but I think Leon Washington is an accomplished returner. So
sure.
It's not like you
but
have to have Welker
and who's the backup?
Stay back there and
but
get
then
killed.
Who's the backup? And you get a little Finn back there. And we know Bill really cares about punt return
fundamentals.
I mean,
he does.
I don't think that
all of a sudden your ball's bouncing off your face.
I think Edelman has some unique skills that when
like
healthy can really contribute to this team and has. The problem is the same with him with Amendola. Got to keep him on the field. You know, and I'm not saying this isn't like the Jacoby Ellsbury thing with these two guys, Amendola. They have legitimate injuries. They're just unfortunate.
I think Jacoby Ellsbury would probably beg to differ with you.
No, but I'm saying a lot of people
and,
look at him and Buchholz and say, "Well, they're
Buchholz." Buchholz is
yeah. You know, I don't think anyone's calling Edelman a
no. Not that he's on the Patriots.
No,
right.
When he was on the Rams, I think he was a. Yeah,
no, Amendola.
I don't think so.
That's what I said.
You guys
were
saying different names.
Both these guys.
Amendola.
I think they're very
similar.
They both have like broken bones and major injuries.
Right.
Like Edelman broke his hand, broke his foot. I mean,
right.
Those are injuries.
Now he may be menopausal. I don't know, but you know,
I don't even know what he's talking about.
A lot of women who are they have their bones start to get brittle.
He needs more milk.
The emailer brought up something that I think that's worthy of talking about. The fact that Josh Boyce was not on one of these lists, I think, is very encouraging.
Assuming he ran it.
It's true. But wouldn't he automatically go on that if he couldn't?
I don't know. True. We don't know. We need Peter King to show us the behind the scenes.
I think if he wasn't able to run the conditioning run, that he would be on a list.
What if they didn't ask him to?
Did you ever see a guy?
No, but he was hurt throughout the spring, so maybe they give him an extra couple days. I have no idea. Plus,
no, I understand
he should
that.
Be able to pass it either way. The foot was broken, but he ran like a 4.440 at the combine.
But I would think that he would, if he hasn't, if they said don't run it yet, I think he would be on a list until he ran it.
Right.
Well, he didn't fail it if they said not to run it.
I understand that, but he didn't pass it. And when you don't pass it, you end up on one of these lists.
Oh. Okay.
Mike from Champaign.
That
so you
worked?
Don't have to fail it. You have to not pass it.
That worked? I can't believe that worked.
Mike from Champaign, Illinois says, good news for the Patriots and bad news for Andy. The good news is Denver Post reports Von Miller's 4-game suspension is for testing positive for amphetamines and marijuana during his rookie season in 2011. See, that's not right.
That's what the story says.
That's why that was the first thing that he got caught with. That's why being caught again makes it a 4-game suspension. He's not getting suspended for that event in 2011. It's why now that he was got caught, it's 4 games.
He was in the program because
exactly,
of that.
Exactly. When you get caught for these recreational drugs the first time.
Wait, what did he? So what did he do now?
We don't know. We don't know. We know. Because
that's assuming it's recreational again.
Right,
and it's
exactly.
The second recreational gets you suspended.
For 4 games?
Yes.
Yes.
The first performance enhancing gets you 4 games.
Yeah.
The second recreational. The first recreational gets you
on the
in
list.
The program, increased testing,
right.
Whatever
and
that is.
And they're not supposed to say what it is.
Right.
Right. So this is the second time, if it's true. He's saying he's
It does hurt my chances of the Broncos right. being dominant early in the year.
He's saying that he didn't do anything, but this is the second time he's been caught with some type of recreational problem. Anyway, okay. NFL rules only allow Commissioner Roger Goodell to suspend violators of the substance abuse policy if there are two-time offenders, right? So the rookie year violation was Miller's second of the sort.
But that's not entirely true.
See, this guy's got it wrong. The rookie was the first. This is something different. Yeah.
Yeah, and
this sounds like what it is.
Substance abuse is PEDs, too.
But it's in a different category.
You guys explained it perfectly, the recreational. But to just say that it takes two substance abuse, no. I mean, you can be suspended the first time if it's, steroids.
Right.
That's
correct.
The amphetamines is interesting. So that's not deemed a performance enhancer.
I guess not.
That's interesting.
The bad Andy news is that third-round wide receiver Terrence Williams has reportedly struggled through the first two practices of Cowboys camp. Williams is off on the wrong foot as he tries to beat out Dwayne Harris for the number three wideout spot. After dropping a pass in the open field Monday, Jason Witten yelled, "Damn it, 83, come on." During minicamps, receivers coach Derek Dooley said Williams has still got a long way to go. Well, I think it's kind
not
of early.
Fair. Yeah. And plus, you go to Dallas, I mean, you're destined to fail.
Did you guys happen to see the new Monday Morning Quarterback website by Peter King?
Hate it.
They allowed their cameras to film Jason Garrett's opening training camp speech. Yeah, nothing really.
How long was it?
Well, they only used about 4.5 minutes of it. You could see where they edited stuff out. But it's more like, we're Cowboys. It's hard to be one. Now that you're here, it's an opportunity. Take advantage of it. We want leaders. That whole thing.
That's being a Jet.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff kind of annoys me.
Why is that?
Play like a Jet. Play like a Cowboy.
That's being a jackass.
I mean, what does that mean?
Chris in California about the PUP list. What could some reasons be for putting Ballard and Edelman on PUP? Could it be Belichick overblowing injuries like he does in season, or are they actually hurt still? And what are some possibilities for the guys on the NFI list? So we just talked about that.
They're actually hurt.
Yeah, I don't think
When does Bill overblow injuries?
I don't think
injuries?
He overblows it.
No, I think it's the opposite. Yeah. He doesn't say anything about injuries.
Now, Ballard could be as simple as he didn't pass conditioning run. He may have passed the poking and prodding of the physical aspect. But like we said, he didn't look great moving, so there's a chance he couldn't run his sprints in the allotted amount of time. The other guys, like Mark Harrison has an injury. He broke his foot, but he didn't do it as a Patriot or as an NFL player.
Right.
So it's a non-football injury.
That's the difference.
Though it's a real injury.
Right.
The other difference is that they can choose not to pay guys for non-football injuries.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that is the difference.
Harrison was placed on IR by the Bears, I believe. He's already been through one team.
Did they waive him injured?
Yeah,
I think he may have waived him injured.
Something like that.
And you can do that and settle with the guy.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's what the Bears
So, I mean, this is an injury that goes back to the combine effort, and that was part of the reason that he dropped.
Like Zuzu Petals, the tackle that we had last year, Marcus Zuzovic, he tore a pec at the combine.
Right.
He was on NFI all year.
Which is ridiculous.
It's a non-football injury, according to the NFL, because he didn't get hurt in the NFL. It led to an Andy rant, which I enjoyed.
For the same reason that I thought Alfonso Dennard could be considered for a suspension, because once you're at the combine, to me, you're in the NFL. You wore the shield. You got your Under Armour on. You're in commercials. You're part of the NFL huge encompassing family. If I get hurt at your training combine, I'm in the NFL. That's a football injury.
Yeah, but what if you? I think injuries never get drafted or signed.
Doesn't matter. Well, then it won't be an issue.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't get drafted as a result of it. Matter of fact, didn't the guy...
Your guy. Northeastern guy.
Vega?
Yeah. He got...
No. Back at the tight end who was tall and had a heart problem.
Brian Mandeville.
Brian Mandeville. Birth date, May 27th, 1977.
They discovered...
He's a Gemini. He likes dolphins and panda bears.
They discovered a heart
defect. Andy just described himself.
Yeah. I kind of did.
So he never played in the NFL because of that, and he was going to be a mid-round pick. So he never got picked, obviously.
But the combine is an NFL event.
What's the guy that tore his ACL, the wide receiver from Florida State?
Oh, yeah.
I remember his name now.
Dick.
No.
Or Dicks or
no.
something. It's a dirty name.
Yeah, it's a slur for homosexuals. But I can't think of his first name, so I don't just want to say his last name.
Gay?
No.
All right, let's go.
Wait,
to
a slur for
the
homosexuals?
Ace Hotline.
This is a fun game to play.
Todd's in Toronto. Hey, Todd.
I remember his name, but is it Dakota?
Hey, good.
Fag.
Yes.
Yes. With two G's or one?
Yes, I think there's two.
Okay.
But I do think he played.
Todd's on the line. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. So which one of you are the guys that poo-poos the running game in the NFL?
That's me.
Yeah. Okay. So I got a set of premise here. Do you agree that the CFL is mainly an aerial league?
I'm not overly familiar with the CFL, but I would assume there's only three downs. I would assume it's more of an aerial
three downs,
league.
Bigger field.
Yeah, I don't watch the game, so
guys
I can't
off the
tell
ball.
You.
Although,
right.
I need the reason to run.
So in the CFL, the team that is leading the whole CFL right now is a rushing team.
Okay.
So I think you put the running game down a little bit too far, because the reason it works for them is they set up the running game, and all of a sudden their passing game opens wide, and that's how they're killing the rest of the league.
Okay.
So,
like I said, I'm not familiar with the CFL. I'm only familiar with the NFL, and yep. Some would argue I'm not all that familiar with that. So
and the CAA.
I just don't think that there's very many elite teams that run the ball first. Well, you know, the elite teams generally in the NFL are proficient throwing the football, and then the running game is sort of a mix in. Yeah, I would say they're a pretty balanced team, and I would say they're an elite team. Although, I think that they would fall into my argument that you can only be so good when you play like that, and until Matt Schaub learns that you need to be able to make plays in the passing game, in big games, I think they're limited.
I can see where your point, but I look back at our two losses to the Giants, and what the Giants had was a running game in those playoffs.
The Giants finished 32nd in the league in rushing that year, 2007.
I thought he was going a different direction. I would have liked to have a running game.
Yeah.
Certainly in 2007, I would have liked to have been able to run the ball a little in that game.
You know,
in that game, they didn't run the ball very well, but if you do recall, they ran the ball exceptionally well.
Oh, yeah.
Down
fraud
the stretch.
Fraudulent.
No.
Lawrence Maroney.
Lawrence Maroney
was a fraud.
I agree.
He had like
overall
300-yard games. That's great. But when I needed you, you couldn't do it.
No,
so you're a fraud.
But he was very good in the playoffs that year.
No, I know
until
that.
Until the Super Bowl.
He's still a fraud.
Well, yeah.
The passing game couldn't do anything, and suddenly he couldn't do anything either, when theoretically he should have been able to take advantage of some defensive linemen getting up the field. So he's a fraud.
I agree, but to me...
And that was proven by the fact that he's out of the league.
To me, you didn't lose the game because you couldn't run the ball.
But you might have won it had you been able to run the ball.
That's my point.
You might have won it if you could stop the other team from scoring 80-plus yard drives in the fourth quarter, too.
That's true.
You know,
you also might have won it if you just didn't start throwing bombs at the end of the game when normally you drive down the field.
Helps to drive down the field.
Yes. Quick update from a
email. Thanks, Todd.
An email from a knowledgeable Broncos fan. Excuse me.
Yes.
Von Miller failed for MDMA, aka Molly and Weed.
Yeah, and I just
what's
emailed
Molly?
I emailed him back and I asked if that was the first time or this time, like if there's two different ones. And I haven't gotten a response yet.
Yeah, this is not a penalty for 2011. This is a penalty for something
new. I still want to know why an amphetamine's not a performance enhancer. I think it should be. Although cocaine would be a performance enhancer.
That was what he got nailed for this time, not sure about the first time. Okay.
All right.
So he's a recreational drug user,
yep.
Basically, is what you're being told.
Unfortunately got caught because there's a lot of them.
So if you enter into the NFL...
Fortunately for you and your Patriots, he got caught.
We'll go back to Hernandez for a second. Can we assume that he entered the NFL in that program then, based
yes.
on all his drug suspensions in college?
Based on his letter to Nick Caserio.
So if he had gotten, if he had tested positive for marijuana at any point during his three seasons with the Patriots, he would have been suspended for four games?
I'm not sure about that.
You're not in the program unless you fail at the combine.
Right.
That is the first, as far as I know, my understanding was if you fail at the combine, you enter the league on the program, but just prior knowledge of failed tests, I don't believe you enter the program.
That makes sense.
Okay.
So the guess would be he didn't fail twice. He could have failed once if we're right, because he wasn't in the program and we never knew about it, whatever. But he definitely didn't fail because he was never suspended.
Jeff in Vegas is on the line. We haven't heard from him in a long time. Hey, Jeff.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Hey. Yeah, well, like Bill Parcells back in the day, I've been in my Jeff in Vegas bunker accumulating my bankroll, and I did hear an emailer or two clamoring to hear from me, so I thought I'd make my reentry.
Yeah, I think there might have been an email about 2 months ago.
And it was and Mrs. Also, Jeff in Vegas.
And speaking of listeners, Olivier, do your job. From Virginia, built up quite a nice bankroll, piggybacking some of the Jeff in Vegas picks. So
everybody just do your job!
What are you guys betting on these days?
CFL
games, Todd, Toronto.
Yeah, we're just have our nose to the grindstone, just working in the bunker, saving money for the NFL betting season. And speaking of which, I find myself sort of cherishing these past three Super Bowl victories. And I'm a little bit concerned, this year, all things being considered.
You should be. This is going to be a difficult season. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that thinks it's going to be easy. Even people like Paul who think
I think it's going
to be good.
It's going to be a grind.
There's going to be some bumps along the way, some struggles, probably some changes. It may not even be the same cast from week one to week 16.
I would be surprised to see, the 38-13 wins that we've sort of been accustomed to.
And wouldn't you also be surprised if it was Amendola, Boyce, and Dobson line up on week one, are good, and through 16 weeks are lining up every week and are good? I mean, I just find that hard to believe that you're going to have a set lineup. This isn't 2007 where Moss and Welker just hit the field running and never slow down.
Right.
And how much do you think the other country is really hoping for a Patriots demise? Do you think they've stopped caring, or are they all going to relish and bask in it if they do have a down season?
Relish.
I think they
everybody hates the Patriots.
Sure.
If you don't love them, you're against them.
Right. And that's the way we want it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way I feel about the Cowboys. I want them to lose every year.
It's the way it is with great sports. You know, great teams in all sports. You have likes and dislikes. If you don't care, then what's the fun in that?
Exactly. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. Jay writes in.
Hey, hole.
What?
He was in the middle of a sentence.
Oh, was he? Oh, sorry about that. Taylor
Jeff, you're always welcome on the Patriots pregame social, which will be kicking off in just a couple of weeks.
August 9th,
with our new host,
Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Mark Bertrand from 98.5 will be hosting both the pregame social and the postgame show on Patriots.com this year. He's excited about it.
He should be. That's a good selection.
He's really excited.
Yeah, they started to tease him a little bit about it on the show.
I don't know if he's been hearing it.
Yeah, call him like, now that you're officially a Patriots honk or wonk or whatever that word is.
I hope he fights back. Adam Jones was the host last year, and he was anything but a Patriots wonk.
That's true. He was actually more negative than Paul.
Right.
Me?
Yes.
How can you put me in the most negative category?
Why is it so important for these tough guys like Felger to like call people wonks at any
Yet when audio captures them watching a Bruins game where a goal scores, they're cheerleaders.
Right. Yeah, see, because I think listen, Felger's a big boy; he can defend himself. He doesn't need me. But I think there's a difference between a wonk, as they call it, and just being a fan. Like, you can want them to win, and yet not ignore every sort of deficiency the team has.
Right.
And that's the difference.
Right.
Some guys just look at it, and no matter what the Patriots do, is going to be the right thing.
Like Fred.
Who's that?
Right now, he's got to think. See, you're very close to losing your, is it honk or wonk?
I don't know.
You're very close to losing your status as that, because you have questioned enough things.
I've always questioned
over the last couple of years.
But when they do it right so often, there's nothing to question.
And we're right back.
For the people that look for things and fabricate things.
So much for that. Fred did not take kindly to me threatening to take away his card.
I think that's worse than being a wonk. I think that's just being one of those, curmudgeons that try to fabricate I'm not a homer.
And neither one of those is right, by the way.
Right.
I don't think that the way Felger and Tony go about their business, to me, with all of the sports teams, to me, isn't necessarily right either. I think they take the negative side just to take the negative side.
Right.
I don't think they always believe it even. I think sometimes they exaggerate it and they look for the negative angle. That's no more, accurate than what the other guys do, but
it's more fun though.
One of Felger's big thing right now is the Patriots fan, and I give our listeners a lot of credit for this, because we haven't heard a lot of this. I think people, our listeners, they want to know what Bill and the Patriots have to say about Hernandez. And they're not necessarily demanding it or anything like that, but I think they understand that there is something to be gained by that. You know, for even for an organization that is traditionally very tight-lipped, I think they understand it. But the, a lot of, I don't know if you guys listen, a lot of the talk show callers have been calling up and saying the Patriots shouldn't talk. They, you know, they don't stand to gain anything by talking. They do it the right way. We don't want to hear them. We don't want to hear about this. They don't owe us any explanation. On and on it goes. Well, Felger points out, you know, obviously that he thinks that they should talk, and he's been sort of critical of the fact that they hadn't talked much before Robert Kraft spoke a couple of weeks ago. Well, now Felger takes that and says, well, I want to hear from Patriots fans criticizing the Patriots for talking, because you've been telling me all along that they shouldn't talk. And now they've talked, so I assume that you're upset about that. That's the way Felger goes about his business.
And he wonders why people call him a DB.
So I'm on last night with Comcast. I'm on his show. Which Tangway would be really happy that I call it Felger's show. You know, the Uno Sports Tonight, Freddie.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the fact that Bill is going to speak tomorrow. And Felger goes on his rant. He goes, and I'm sure that we're going to hear from all kinds of Patriots fans saying how mad they are that Bill is choosing to speak about this because they've been telling me all along that he shouldn't. Right. And they don't think he should speak, and now he's going to speak. And I just looked, I go, only you could make this about you.
Right.
And that's, we went to break.
DB.
I mean, how he turns everything into something about himself.
But you know what? People criticize him for doing that. I'd rather have him do that than let's just talk straight sports for 4 hours every day. I want a guy to on radio,
no one
have an opinion, go
sports.
Out there.
No, I
you
like.
Know, take
I think
your
he does
clothes
a good
off
show.
And be willing to be ridiculed for
right.
for being like that. That's fine.
Yeah, I think he takes
it's
the,
radio. It's entertainment.
I think he takes the contrarian thing too far.
Yeah,
but I'd rather have that.
He becomes predictable.
Than like the Dale Arnold side of it that is just like, you know, I don't understand why people are criticizing Chris Bork because he can't play. Just because he's Ray's son doesn't mean he's good. And then they release him the next day and all of a sudden the Bruins did the right thing because they had to pull the plug. It just didn't work. You know, that's the kind of stuff I think is very transparent and easy to read through, see through. And you know that these guys don't really believe what they're saying. They're just spouting the company line, you know, like you used to. You don't do it anymore,
no,
Fred.
No,
In 5 minutes ago, he was.
He's very mad I was going to
take
times.
Away his card.
You know,
he's very mad about that.
If you think
that.
Winning 2 out of 3 Super Bowls was, you know, and taking the company line was saying this is a great team, then I was taking the.
That's an odd way to phrase it, don't you think?
I
won 2 out of 3 Super Bowls. So he's evidently only talking about 0-1 to 0-3.
But, you know, if you think that was saying they were great, that's taking the company line, then okay.
Like if you said 3 out of 4 or back to back, I would say, okay, you chose the 2 out of 3. Interesting.
Did you read Tom Brady's comments on Monday Morning Quarterback?
No, I didn't read that. Well, I heard about him, but I didn't read
it. I thought it was interesting that he, you know, he was talking about, you know, he used to sort of think it was easy, you know,
right.
winning
no,
3 of 4
really
and it's harder now.
They blew it. Yeah.
I realize not so tough without a defense.
But in there he said, we'll know in training camp whether we can win the Super Bowl, or we'll know pretty soon if we can win the Super Bowl.
And the question then is, do you know that every year? Is every
and
year,
the question is, when I ask you in September, can you win the Super Bowl? Will you give me the answer?
Right.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting how he talked about that. And by the way, I don't think he'll know in August if they can win the Super Bowl. He may know they can't. He may say, wow, there's a bunch of this
right.
roster sucks. But he won't know they can
that.
Win the Super Bowl.
I think you can prove the negative there, but not,
right.
not necessarily
like you,
the positive.
You can't win a game in the first quarter. Well,
you can
certainly
lose
it.
To which I always say,
well, then you can win it.
If you're the other team that lost it in the first quarter, didn't you just win it in the first quarter?
Yes.
But I agree with Andy. I think that you could maybe tell, we ain't got what it takes to win a Super Bowl. But I don't think you can know for sure that you do. You know you don't have it, but I don't know if you know you do.
And when Tom Brady knows or doesn't know that, is he simply talking about the weapons? I mean...
I think he's not even talking about talent. I think he's talking about, you know, the fire, the competitive nature,
the
resiliency.
Level, as DA would say.
Yes, that sort of stuff. The vibe he gets from the guys that he needs to go to battle with.
I'd be interested to know which season did you know you couldn't and why?
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Well, but good off season. Post career stuff. Good retirement. I think it would be fascinating because I'll bet you. He didn't think in 06 that they had what it took.
Right.
But I'll bet you, you know.
But they did have what it took.
Yeah, I don't really think they did. But
Come on, Paul. They did. I mean, they had a huge lead. They blew it, but they had what it took. They didn't win that, but they could have just as easily won that game.
Well, then, all right.
Right?
They could. I mean, they could have won the game. They could have just as easily lost the week before, too.
I know, but they had what it took in this league.
I don't think they did. I don't
year.
Think they were talented enough to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
And that's why they didn't win it. But anyway, I'll bet you in 09 he didn't think they had what it took.
Right.
But I'll bet you in 10 he thought they did. Certainly in 11, I mean, they came a minute away from winning it. I mean, 07, I think. No need to discuss that.
Right.
But I think it would be interesting to see if he feels like that. He might have felt all of those teams had a chance. We're good enough to do it.
Well, that's what I thought was interesting in the comments. He kind of almost contradicted himself in that he said, we always have a chance
right.
to win it. And then he said, we'll know early if we have a chance to win. Well, you just said you always
right.
have a chance.
I hadn't seen the last half of that quote.
Of
I only
things,
saw the first
if you've
half.
Never not thought that, then how do you know? When,
right.
You know?
It's a good, yeah, that's yeah. a good point.
Jay says,
I think Wes Welker's going to go bankrupt, by the way.
Where did that come from?
Well,
the hair transplants? Or just,
we know he never made the money that he could have, should have made, even though he made good money. And he just seems to sort of, this is going to be a little bit mean to his wife, but he has one of those like trophy wives that
yeah.
could end poorly. And boom, there's money gone. And he's starting the Wes Welker restaurant. We know that's going to end poorly. They all go out of business. Even you said Junior Sales was the greatest one ever, went out of business.
I never went there, so it wasn't me, but okay.
I thought you guys went to the ring ceremony there.
So you
I
and,
didn't, I
like,
didn't.
Like Rob no. Gronkowski has said all along, his goal is to play in week one.
Right.
Fred has said that Junior Sales was the best ever.
But I get the vibe he's going to be a guy that doesn't have a lot of money long term.
You got to figure $40 million anyway, right? He had $17 million for the long term one.
$18 million,
$10 million, was
$10 million, maybe $13 million.
And now
you're trying to keep up with
13?
The Brady's, that can be unless Brady's paying.
Plus whatever the little stuff that he made,
depends.
That still adds up.
But
no, I'm talking
he's
about
clearly
before.
An investor. Oh, that's what made me think of it. We saw the Bonk Breakers delivery to the locker room here. There's a case of Bonk Breakers, and I didn't know we still got those. I thought that was all Wes Welker. He's involved with these. He feels like he could lose a lot of money in investments and businesses, and then a lot of money to his wife. And if that goes down a sour road, I think he's going to be bankrupt someday.
Okay.
Andy's got him divorced and taken a bath in divorce court.
You wait. I'll tell you. When I said
no prenup?
Jay says that Taylor Price is on the Jags PUP list, by the way.
Oh, my God. So that's it. I'm cutting ties.
He really is made of porcelain.
What is wrong
with him? Hey, Lumpy.
Molly, by the way, is a form or substitute of ecstasy. It's a widely taken party drug, at least with the young crowd. Not so not good guys. Glad to hear the real team is back this week. Keep up the good work. So Molly is a form of ecstasy.
That's interesting.
I would not have known that, and that's good.
Why is it called that?
Molly? I don't know.
So he likes to party.
Shanghai Sally?
What is that?
Yam yam. You don't see Seinfeld. So
is that all weed?
No, it's opium.
Oh,
is that the one when
Elaine was supposed
Elaine,
to go to Africa?
Yeah, and she couldn't go.
The Dark Continent's no place for an addict.
And then she used Jerry's mother's urine,
right,
to try to pass because of the poppy seeds. I think on the. We're making her test positive for opium.
And he doesn't like it. He just,
no, it's not funny.
He
it's
just
not
sits
funny.
There with this, blank look.
I saw
face.
Ted, by the way, finally, 8 years later.
Now we've all seen Ted.
Yeah. You think it was funny?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I did think it was funny. I thought it was. I knew going in it was going to be overrated because there's no way it could live up to the way everybody talked about it. But I enjoyed it. Once you get beyond the fact that there's. A teddy bear talking.
Well, that's kind of the joke is like.
But I thought he
people
was.
People just kind of like, okay, we've had it. He becomes his 50
he
minutes
has a girlfriend.
Of fame, right?
I thought he was really, really good.
Yeah.
I thought Seth MacFarlane was really good.
Mark and Fall River, love listening to the show. I have a question about some available wide receivers. I noticed Steve Breston, Laurent Robinson, and Chaz Schillens are still available. I know none of them would be the savior. But you'd think with our lack of depth, we might give them a shot, especially after cutting Jones. I could be wrong, but I think Schillens may have been in for a workout. What about taking a shot on one of them?
Shillens was here for minicamp, and he has a problem that he can't catch the football.
Do you think the Pats want to force the young guys into duty so they get experience and to force Brady's hands?
No. Okay. I think that is a fortunate byproduct potentially for them, but I think they would prefer to have good receivers.
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, Breston is another, I think, of the same kind of guy that they already have. I think they need, you know, Robinson might be more of an outside guy, but then he's got all the concussion history, and I'm not sure that that works either.
He's also older than I thought.
Well, he's been on four teams in 5 years.
Yeah. I didn't know he was quite a journeyman that he was.
Mark says, thanks for the great work as always, and look forward to the new preseason game presentation. One thing I love about your group is that you're always at the forefront trying to beat everyone else to what will be the next big thing.
That's true.
Yeah, that we haven't kind of talked about that in a while, the preseason presentation that you guys will be involved in.
Yeah,
that's going to be pretty cool.
Can we get the AC in this room fixed?
Oh, I just thought of that. That's perfect.
Yeah, well, I got to do TV in here. I can't be sweaty on TV.
Oh, boy. We'll have to talk about that. That's true.
Paul's forehead gets wet, I'll never see.
The day of our rehearsal for that, no practice. That's
perfect.
Big. That's big.
I'm ready. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing for that.
We'll work it out.
Except, quote-unquote, reining it in a little.
The problem,
what did he call me? Acerbic? Acerbic? What's the word he used to describe me?
Acerbic?
Yeah. That's not the word I would use.
Certain people like Andy Harder can be a little bit acerbic, might have to rein that in a little.
Anything that starts with ass applies.
Astronomically intelligent and good-looking. and we should also mention that we just put the wraps on our training camp preview issue. So that'll be available not only on newsstands and in your mailbox, but on the Patriots Football Daily app very soon.
Outstanding. Lot of info in there. It goes position by position. So if you read that issue, you are ready for training camp.
And my favorite thing to do, the ranking the roster 1 to 90.
Right, and you actually had a description for each guy this year.
Yes. Did you get mad at anything? Don't say what it was, but...
Did I get mad? Yeah, well, the one that stood out is I think you had Armstead ranked too high.
Well, I was going to ask if you would
rethink Pete Carroll. That. What do you want me to tell you? Yeah. If he was a first-round pick as a star defensive end stud out of USC,
I know,
that's where
he'd be. But every coach says their players are good, so then all the rookies are
I'm
high.
I'm telling you.
I just thought that you had him ranked a little high.
I bought in. I told you. The day I talked to him, I bought in.
Well, what did you
He's
expect
big,
me to have a problem?
Well, I don't want to say it because I don't want to give it away. I want to make people read it. Somebody who was near the bottom of the roster.
Oh. I mean, that was an obvious Andy Tim Tebow number.
Hey, ho, 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 hey!
Well, that's pretty obvious. All right, food's here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your emails on, what's the name of the show? PFW in Progress.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, a tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo sacks at Jerod Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays, they
yes,
do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Kevin, we should be ready with the 1-800 numbers, right?
I just wrote an email today, and John said he was going to check and see if they're active.
Okay.
So I wrote one this morning.
We know the domestic ones. We're just waiting for the international ones to be active.
That is correct.
Because we feel that's who will need them most.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Because it really doesn't cost you anything to call anywhere in the domestic United States anymore.
The phones
have
worked good today, knock on wood. So hopefully everything's
fixed. Some people it does. But for the most part, people use their cell phones or their, what do they call that, VoIP.
Yeah, a lot of people. Well, even my Comcast phone.
Voice
goes
over
through,
IP?
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people more and more that seem like they don't even have house lines anymore.
Right. But internationally, that'll be good if they can get free calls. That'll boost because we're big over there.
Let's try to get that going.
I want a call from Africa.
Okay.
I don't think we've ever gotten a call from Africa, have we?
I think we might have.
Where'd the map go?
What?
Where'd the map go?
Why are you talking so loud?
I want the map back with the pin in it.
Yeah, we should put that up, but there's really nowhere to put it.
What do you mean? There's walls everywhere with nothing on them.
You can't cover up the sound baffling.
Well, then put it in there.
Okay.
It'd be perfect for the baffled producer.
Yeah, I don't know where that went.
Do we have it anywhere? And he just throws his hands up. Just once, I'd like him to answer me.
No, I don't. I know what you're talking about.
We had a map. Well, otherwise, let's just get a new map.
It was just when I came, yeah.
Can we get a new map? And every time somebody calls, we put a pin in the place so that we see the expansive popularity.
Fred, can I expense a new map if I can't find the other
one? Yes. You got to be able to get a cheap map somewhere. Like, I'll just roll out one that with pins in it.
Sure.
Put it on a wall.
You just don't want it too big because then it becomes a pain in the butt.
Well, but it needs to be a world
map.
It's got to
be big enough where you can differentiate between.
That's true, the countries.
Right.
Yeah.
Chiba and Bangkok.
Right.
That's true.
So it was on his mind.
What?
Harry's in West Hartford, Connecticut, and I like his email because
represent.
He writes it with rose-colored glasses. He says, let's make a case as to why the Patriots offense will be better going into 2013 than it was a year ago.
Because you smoke a lot of Molly.
Well, let's listen to it.
Why do you have to shoot him down before he even talks?
We're having an emergency alert on my phone. There's a flash flood warning in all areas. So we're getting a lot of rain areas today.
Not getting into my phone.
Or my phone. And I have those turned on because I get them
you
occasionally.
You don't have AT&T.
No, I have Verizon.
Right.
Which means that probably came this morning at 9 a.m. and you're just getting it.
So
it's true.
These are reasons, according to Harry, why the Patriots offense will be better this year than it was last year. Number one, Stephen Ridley had a terrific season last year as a second-year player, and with consistency should be even better.
And we'll find running tougher with no passing offense.
Do you think it's possible he's better?
No.
No, not possible.
No, I don't think he's going to be better.
Now, can we save the
analysis or the rebuttal?
Yeah, the end.
I was hoping you would talk more, so I took a bite of my sandwich.
Do I think it's possible? Yes, Fred. Do I think it's probable? No, I don't.
Is it possible, Eric?
I think he had a terrific year last year, and I think it's more likely that at best he's similar to that.
Like, what would lead you to believe he's going to have a better year this year?
Just that he's more mature as a runner, more confident.
Yeah, I think
NFL a little bit better in his third year.
And I think the NFL knows him a little bit better.
The NFL knows him better. The defenses will be more fixated on him.
How about the Patriots'
most
offensive
guys
line is a little bit more consistent
to,
and better from
well,
the
I doubt
get-go?
It. I doubt it.
No?
I doubt it.
Why?
Because they pretty much stayed together last year. In all likelihood, you're going to be missing guys left
and
right.
And
you're going to go back to having four centers and four guards. And, by the way, it's not that easy to have back-to-back 300-carry seasons. You have 300 carries a year. Well, 290.
Okay.
But
all right.
It's hard to do. Okay, now we're shutting off the rebuttal.
Number two, Shane Vereen, who was drafted in the second round ahead of Ridley, is an explosive athlete who seems to have put his injury troubles behind him. While Danny Woodhead was serviceable, Vereen has the potential to be a star. 18 yards per reception in 2012. Don't forget Leon Washington either. There are at least a few big plays left in him.
I actually could have written that. I agree wholeheartedly, 100%.
I agree with that. The only thing I would ignore on that is the 18 yards per catch is completely irrelevant. He caught nine passes.
No,
one of them went for 87 yards.
But that's even something Andy would do. He needed a number to make his point,
and
he had a number.
Daniel
Fells. I mean, this is a guy that averaged 21 yards a catch last season for the Patriots.
I am 100% on board the Shane Vereen bandwagon. No question about it. I think he's a very, very important guy in that offense this year.
Number three, a productive yet aging Wes Welker with lots of miles on him will be replaced with a younger model in Danny Amendola. While there are durability concerns, Amendola has had an 85-catch season and last year was on pace for 125 catches before getting hurt. He is easily dismissed, but Julian Edelman was so highly considered that he entered last season ahead of Welker on the depth chart. We all love Wes, but for all his production, he did drop a lot of catchable footballs, and that is one little-discussed reason why he is now a Bronco. Coach Bill does not like drops.
He liked Hernandez.
Number four.
I completely dismissed that one.
Okay. At least at this point, Rob Gronkowski is in rehab mode from his surgeries. We no longer are wondering when the next surgery will be. He only played in 10 games last season, so even if he sits out the first six this year, he may still play in as many as last year when the Patriots offense found a way to average 35 points a game. Okay.
Wait a minute. found a way because they had other good players.
Thank you.
That was a ridiculous point. He should just live off the Vereen point. The Vereen was a solid point. The rest of this is hogwash.
Amendola could be another good player.
Yes.
Shane Vereen could be another good player.
But Amendola can't just be just another good player. He's replacing a guy who was very good.
No, but you
very
said
consistent.
They found a way because they had other good players. Those
right.
other
No,
good
but he dismissively said they found a way to somehow score 35 because they had Welker, because they had Hernandez. They had a good offense.
Okay. And maybe because this year they have Amendola and because they have Vereen, who's now okay. All right. Well,
best case scenario, those guys are good.
Okay.
They're not Gronk.
Number five.
A terrible
number five. Last season, Aaron Hernandez was erratic at best.
That's true.
He was injured half the season and dropped a lot of passes when he did play.
True.
Ask Andy what he thought about his play last year. Between time he
sucked.
Missed and Gronk's injuries, the two rarely played together last year, as it was so
as it was. So it isn't like the Patriots had this two superstar tight end juggernaut rolling last year.
I could have written that one as well.
Who's this?
Harry in West Harvard.
Harry. Great point right there. Great point. That's why I'm not as worried about the loss of Aaron Hernandez as a lot of other people are.
Number six.
I don't think he was that good.
Number six, Brandon Lloyd is gone. Hooray. If he is the one to take his place, can Michael Jenkins really do any worse?
Yes.
He did catch 40 passes last year in a weak Vikings passing attack. Brady seems to like him, so there is that.
Yeah, I agree with not being concerned that you lost Brandon Lloyd, but I don't agree that you've replaced him. I don't think,
but he can't do any worse. I think Michael Jenkins could catch meaningless 74 passes.
I don't think he'd catch 70 passes.
I do. I think it's very similar. You throw him 150, he'll catch 70.
If they threw 140 to him, he probably would, right?
Maybe.
I
don't think it's possible for him to have 140 passes thrown to him.
Right.
I think he's clearly inferior to Brandon Lloyd, and you know what I thought of Brandon Lloyd. Nothing.
Seven, the unknowns. Each season brings breakthrough players. Usually it comes from a convergence of talent and opportunity. Well, the opportunity is there for talented second and fourth round draft picks to have breakout seasons. Other teams expect draft picks to contribute, and with one of the best quarterbacks of all time throwing to them, why can't we expect Dobson and Boyce to at least be positive assets? You know that someone in this offense will be catching balls and scoring points, and if the young players are in that mix, then the success should help them build confidence. Bill and Tom will find a way. They always do. Given the opportunity...
The Paul Perillo argument.
Given the opportunity, players you don't
it's
expect
not my total
will
argument.
Step up and surprise you. 14-2 is the record, Harry. And there you go.
Well, the counter to the Boyce and Dobson, which we are very much on board with, mm-hmm. It could be positive that they have to throw to him. That may lead to their development. But the counter to that is they've never developed anybody.
Or if you miss.
No, but even beyond that, the counter to that is you're hoping for something that hasn't happened since 2002. It's been more than a decade since they proved they could develop a top-level receiver that can contribute for you on a regular basis.
And they've had some high picks, like Dobson. You know, Bethel Johnson and Chad Jackson.
Brandon Tate.
Guys they brought in with that had promise that didn't pan out. Now, where I agree with Harry is that they really don't have a choice. Tom's going to have to throw to these guys. It might be one of those fortunate byproducts of the situation.
Unless he just falls in love with Jenkins and he catches 74 passes.
Yeah, if they throw the ball to him 140 times and he catches 74, he'll make even fewer plays than Brandon Lloyd did last year. That's how I feel. I think he'd average
zero instead of one.
He'd average even less yards per catch and all of that other stuff that goes along with it.
He's not as athletic as him.
No, not even close.
All that athleticism never led to anything for Lloyd. He never got open and never made plays.
And I also think if you threw the ball to him 140 times, Brady would throw more interceptions in doing so than he did throwing to Lloyd last year.
I don't know. Jenkins is pretty used to catching the ball in traffic.
I don't think he'd be as open as Lloyd was.
Oh, I don't think Lloyd was ever open. Except on those little bubble screens.
I don't either.
I literally
that shows
think
you
he
what
was
I
th- never
I
mean, open.
I mean, you know, if you're reading between
I
the
think
lines,
there was a guy in
I
Brandon Lloyd's pocket
Jenkins.
Pretty much at all times.
Yeah, he was wide open a couple times down the field.
Oh, now Brady sucks.
And the super
the reason you think they're going to win without any talent around him now sucks.
First of all, don't exaggerate to make your little points, Felger. No one's saying anybody.
Points aren't
no one's saying anybody
points
sucks except for you and Aaron Hernandez.
Who said who sucks?
So no one's saying anyone sucks except for you with regard to Aaron Hernandez.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I know we know
sucked
what you
as
mean.
A star.
But you know, no one's saying that Tom Brady
wasn't
is
Sergio
the
Brown.
Problem.
That's a guy that sucks.
See, Andy has to backtrack now.
You see where
Why
I'm
do
going?
I have to backtrack?
Fred, you see where I'm going with
Absolutely.
This?
Absolutely.
I know you haven't been around a lot the last few shows that Andy and I have been here.
Why do I have to backtrack?
This has been a recurring theme.
Wait, why do I have to backtrack?
Because you can't say that they're going to miss him so much.
Wait,
and,
but I'm not.
I mean, how many games are they going to win? I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm staying
10
away from
trending
it.
Toward 9.
Okay. They only win 10 trending toward 9 because they're missing,
right.
You know.
No.
Part of the reason is Welker.
If they had
and
Wes Welker and Rob Gronkowski, I would have them at 12-4 or 13-3. But they don't. I don't think you're going to, as I said, I don't.
And
I'm not,
you don't think Amendola is going to produce?
I have my concerns. He's been the brightest spot of this transition era this spring, by far.
I think everybody has concerns.
But I have major concerns, and I find it hard for me to just fall back on Brady and Belichick always just find a way.
Oh, well, I think that's fair.
To me, that's not really...
Right.
I need reason.
What, do you think all, you say everybody has concerns, Fred, but is everybody's concern equal?
No, but I think when it comes to Amendola versus Welker, everybody has concerns.
What's the concern with Welker?
That Amendola's not going to stay on the field and be able to produce.
No, no, no. What's the concern with Welker?
None. What do you mean?
You said everybody has concerns.
About Amendola replacing Welker.
Oh, I thought you meant every player has comes with concerns.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, I misunderstood.
On this team, Amendola replaced. I think people are concerned that that production is not going to be made up for.
The problem is that should have been your major concern. It isn't. Now it's actually your known commodity. Well, we know if healthy, Amendola can catch the ball.
Yeah.
Now your biggest concern is you have no tight ends. That, you know what I mean? That,
right.
At some point, Amendola went from the biggest question mark to the greatest
even
certainty.
Even the biggest wonk or honk, whatever you want to call them.
Somebody find out what
I'm
going
to send a text to Felger right now.
Wonk or honk that Fred wears is putting pajamas.
Can't enter this training camp with a concern about the offense. You just, you know, it's, you just have to. It's just, now, beyond, you can have faith that, yeah, I have concern, but, you know, I do believe in Tom Brady and Shane Vereen. Okay, that's fine. That's fair, but you have to wonder, how are they going to do this?
I have a question. Since everybody likes to say they always get it done and blah, 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 are all of the top targets for Tom Brady on the roster as we speak?
Good question.
What is the question? I'm texting Fire.
I would say yes.
Well, you heard when I took a shot at you. And
yes.
Are all of the top targets for Tom Brady this year on the roster as we speak?
I believe they will add a weapon.
Okay, but I mean a functional weapon.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to catch at least like 25 or 30 balls to even be.
I think they'll add a Jabard Gaffney type weapon.
I do too.
From 06.
I do 06, actually too.
He came in and he was a serviceable guy.
Oh, he's more than serviceable.
I think they'll have.
No, you're big on down the stretch. You think Lawrence Maroney was a great running back. Jabard Gaffney was a great receiver.
Again.
See, why do you do
this
that?
This is what he does. No one said that Lawrence Maroney was ever great.
It just
I said
the discussion.
The Patriots ran the ball very well down the stretch in 2007 until the Super Bowl.
Now, instead of talking about
it, you say ruin, I say
you have to address your stupidity when you do that.
So you believe they will add somebody as well, or you think they're here?
I said I think they're here. Yeah.
I think they'll add somebody. I think they're either trade or somebody will get cut. Somebody's out
now,
there.
In your opinion, is that someone who's been here before, or
no,
is this a new
I don't
guy?
Think Deion Branch is coming through
right,
that door.
Or,
and I certainly don't think Moss or Lloyd are coming through that door. Lloyd may not even be alive anymore. I haven't seen Brandon Lloyd's name attached to anything.
You know, that's
since
interesting because all these wide receivers that we talked about, Breston and Shillens and Robinson and Colley, these guys, it seems like these wide receivers are going on workouts everywhere. I haven't heard one.
His reputation
or
precedes
Brandon
him.
Well, I find that very interesting.
They said on NFL,
teams are still looking for receiver help, and yet no one's even bringing him in to work him out.
They implied on Sirius yesterday that Lloyd is holding out for money and that, you know, he has no leverage, and the only way he's going to have a contract is if he signs for a veteran minimum.
But Richard Seymour has held out for money, clearly. He's basically said that. And
he came out and said, I'm not just going to play
His name is in the circulation.
Right.
Lloyd, to me, is... No one has any interest because
like
he's played in so many cities and burnt so many bridges and rubbed so many people the wrong way and failed to live up to expectations that it's like that has grown. As I said to Paul, when it's not just like you played in New England, so New England's never going to sign you. But what if assistant coach, you know, say Chad O'Shea had moved on in the offseason? All of a sudden that spreads with how many people have dealt with you and don't want to deal with you again.
Kareem in Virginia said the Broncos just released Joe Mays. And he's wondering what you thought about him.
I don't really think of him. No. I don't know. What does Joe Mays
do? I remember when he came out on draft, and we were talking about him. But
I don't. That. I don't really don't know anything about Joe Mays.
Well,
I think I was thinking of
what position does he play?
USC.
That's Taylor Mays.
Yeah, me too.
What position does Joe Mays play?
Joe
Forgive
Mays.
My ignorance. I told you.
We'll have to look up Joe Mays, see what he's done on the Broncos.
Hey, Kenny, who's Joe Mays?
Can someone tell me what position he plays?
I thought he was a lineman, but no, Joe Mays? Not. No? I don't know. I might be thinking of somebody else. Jay says...
Knowing you are, and it's a third-grade classmate.
Willie Mays. He was a center fielder.
He's a linebacker.
He's a linebacker.
He had looks like he had 20 tackles, 7 solos, and a half a sack last year.
Okay, so he's a backup Jag.
Another criticism of NFL.com. Did you know under tackles they list combined total assists?
Right.
Combined and total are the same effing thing.
Right.
It's combined or total, solo, assists.
Right.
Do they not have people who actually know the game of football that sit in on those geek meetings you go to all the time?
We don't do that in our paper.
No, we know football.
But we get
we're
it
right not
from
morons. That. No, Jesus. I'm talking NFL.com, your geek kingdom, all your people.
We don't get the stats for the paper.
All
from
these
NFL.
Geeks.
Well, we get it from the NFL.
Spend how much does NFL.com cost a year to run, put together? $10 million?
What do you mean? How much does it cost?
50 cents.
It seems like it's 50 cents, but I'm guessing it's in the tens of millions of dollars in terms of the development and the technology and the running of NFL.com, and they fail to produce anything worthy of a football fan.
I think they've done a good job with their editorial. Of
you just like that they now put the police blotter stuff in
right.
on the website.
Well, I they don't ignore things.
Right.
But that
you know what I'd
never...
like them to not ignore? That combined and total are the same thing.
That was never my problem. I don't care if you...
Means you should get more, not less.
You're the league branch. The fact that you don't publicize when bad things happen, totally understandable. That's not my problem with it. I just think it's a poor website.
Yeah. When I go there for facts, I want the facts to be factual.
And I want to be able to open up a website and have it be able to... I don't need to be blown away with every innovation there is. So it takes 5 minutes for the page to open.
Like when you're watching, like using the tracker during the game. 99-yard sack. No. 58-yard field goal. No. Safety. Wait, we're waiting here for the actual play.
I'm starting to like the agility drills with Nicole Zalumis doing them.
Oh, she can get agile on me anytime.
Wow. Fred just completely just take. He's going.
He ripped the wax paper
for leather on that cookie.
To.
Yeah, middle linebacker, hard hitter from our Broncos source. From the Eagles practice squad before the Broncos, can't cover anyone, horrible pass defense, inconsistent, was shopped at the draft, but nobody wanted him, so now they cut him. Poor man's Brandon Spikes.
Oh, okay.
By all means, let's bring him in.
Broke his left leg last year, I believe. That's why his numbers were minuscule.
Oh, yeah, I kind of remember that.
Jay says, with Gronk and Ahern on the field for just 15% of the snaps last year, the 2012 Patriots offense led the entire NFL in yards, points, and first downs.
Yeah, but what is their average with neither of them on the field?
What is the average without them and Welker?
That's a little bit of a concern to me.
What is their average without Welker, Brady? I mean, not Brady. Well, you never know.
I think people are chalking this up to just Hernandez. We didn't have Hernandez for stretches last year, and we scored a ton of points without him. And I think people are forgetting that Gronk was healthy then. Welker was here, and the offense really was in place without Hernandez. Right now, it's without Hernandez, Welker, Gronkowski, Lloyd even. I mean, they knew they had Lloyd out there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know who's going to be out there yet.
No.
There's more. Listen.
Like I said, you got to be whistling past the graveyard to not at least be wondering how the heck they're going
to
do this.
And I know Andy makes fun of me because it's just like he chalks it up to me just saying, well, they'll find a way. I just think that Brady is good enough in the passing game.
In the regular season.
To be able to score and move the ball. And I don't expect them to score 550 points, though. And like I said, I use the word grind. I think they'll be grinding it a little bit more. Not necessarily running the ball, but I don't think you'll see this, you know. Remember last year when they would punt, every time they punted, you were surprised. You know? Every time they punted, it was somewhat of a surprise. I think you'll see some sort of, you know, periods, you know, quarters, where, you know, it doesn't look so good. Maybe more often than in the past.
Will Stephen Ridley, in your mind, most likely to have a better or worse year? More than 1,200 yards, more than 12 touchdowns, better than 4.4 whatever he had.
Push. I think about the same.
So Tony Mass says...
I think that's a really good year if he has the same.
Maybe not as many touchdowns, but yard-wise, he'll have about 1,200.
If he has the same type of year, I think that's going to be really impressive because I think it's going to be harder. He's going to earn it more.
Yeah, I think he'll end up with about 1,200 yards unless he gets hurt. I think if he gets his 300 carries, he'll get around 1,200 yards.
That's
Sam,
hard to do.
Sam from Old Bridge, New Jersey writes in, good to have all of you back.
Real quick, Tony Maz says, first of all, he thinks we're out of our minds. It's like, LOL, not sure. Honk, I think. So even they don't know.
Well, because he doesn't say anything on his own. He says, you're absolutely right, Mike. So when Mike says wonk or honk, Tony goes, you're absolutely right,
and I'll
Mike.
Let you know in about 3 days when Felger gets back to me because that's generally the time.
Uh-oh. I missed all of last week because my wife was delivering my firstborn.
Congratulations.
Nice. Excellent.
Boy or a girl?
He doesn't say. It says, good to be a papa.
Girl.
Already have a Patriots onesie. Probably a boy then, right? Could be a girl.
What are you talking about?
He has a Patriots onesie.
A onesie is what a baby wears.
Right. Would you put a onesie on a girl?
A baby. A onesie is what a baby wears.
I know
yes.
that.
Yes. Yes is the answer to your question. Okay. Boys and
a
girls
onesie
wear
is what all babies
Thanks,
wear.
Paul. Thanks, Paul.
What are you talking about?
But usually girls wear like pink or yellow and boys wear blue.
Yeah, onesies come in all different
Did
colors.
Did he say what color?
No.
Thank you. But so it's a onesie that all babies but the freaking newest king of England is in a onesie.
I don't know. Do you always put little baby girls in football stuff?
Yes.
Do you?
Do you see the market for pink football stuff there? They have all kinds of girl stuff.
All right. I'm just, you know. Why do you have to get so offended?
Because a onesie is what a baby wears. But you said, oh, so it's a boy.
Onesie have different colors and different patterns. And
for boys and
you
girls.
Put a boy
so therefore, you wouldn't jump to the conclusion that it was a boy.
Onesie,
just
you?
Say I was wrong.
No.
I'm Fred Kirsch and
no.
I was wrong.
Would you put a boy in a pink onesie?
Eric was in a pink onesie.
Oh, stop it.
But the color was not relevant there. You read the word
I'm
onesie and said, I assume it's a
there's
boy.
There's different types of onesies for boys
that
and
is
girls.
Irrelevant to this discussion.
No, it isn't.
That is 100% true.
No, it isn't.
You assumed
You're
it
being
was a
very
boy.
Like right now.
Because the boy wore a onesie. Boys and girls. This
no,
is,
because the boy wore a Patriots.
And there
onesie.
Are Patriots pink onesies and Red Sox pink onesies and Celtics right. pink onesies. Right. Or, by God, a girl could wear just a plain Patriots onesie.
All right. Yeah.
You made a leap of logic that was idiotic.
I said it's probably a boy because it's a Patriot.
See what happens? You know how you said this is what you do, and then we have to spend 10 minutes explaining why you're stupid? Pot,
right,
kettle,
right.
black.
Okay, all right.
You're being a little Andy-like.
Yeah.
If he just said,
I
no,
know,
I guess
boys
I didn't really think of it that
onesies.
Way. Onesies, you know,
all right.
it's sort of unisex.
Who was it that wanted to come out,
they're
come
not
out with
unisex,
twosies? You know, you can flip them inside out and get two wearings out of them, call them twosies. Somebody had that. It was a Fred Kirsch-like great idea.
Not either one of my babies.
Oh, no. When it goes up God. The back.
The point I want to make is to the fans that are panicking. I know there is hope because of these. So Sam is going to give us reasons, his reasons why.
I love how people are calling us or emailing us to give us reasons why it could be okay.
One, well, they're not going to get it from you guys.
Paul thinks they are going to win the Super Bowl, that they're a 12-4 team, that they're great.
I don't, if you're asking me now, I don't think they're a
Will
Super
Will they go
Bowl
to the
contender.
AFC title game?
I think they have a better-than-average shot, yes, of going to the AFC
See?
Title
He's
game.
He's pro-Patriots. He thinks they're basically going to be what they were last year. AFC title game?
I don't
moves,
think they'll
whatever.
Be as good as they were last year.
Well, they are.
The
if you go to the
you're
title
right.
game, you're as good. I don't care if it's as pretty or as dominant or it gets you these records.
You're right. The
you
bottom The bottom line is where you
In the old days, stats didn't
you.
Matter around here. Stats were for losers until they started mattering and the team became.
Number two, or number one. I haven't got to number one yet. In 2006, when they took Brady's favorite target, people panicked. Brady grumbled. But as I remember, we were a few plays away from going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Paul says they weren't really competitive for a
but
Super
that's,
Bowl.
But that's kind of my example, and here's where you'll cut ties because it suits your argument.
Because I want to laugh a little and
right.
watch you get red and hot.
You agree with me. You don't think they were that good.
No, they weren't that good.
Okay,
But they didn't have to be that year, and if they had beaten the Colts,
see,
they probably would have beaten the Bears.
My point when I say that I don't think they're as good is in 2006 they had to upset people to get to where they got. Last year they didn't have to upset anybody to get to where they got. Now, you could say, and you're right, I don't care how they get there, just get there. Absolutely. Who cares if you sprung three upsets on the way to your title? Or if you were the overwhelming favorite along the way to the title?
The
it doesn't matter.
Was, did they have what it took to win?
I don't
yeah,
think,
they did.
I don't think they did. I think they had to get a little bit fortunate to get where they did. I would rather be a good enough team to not have to rely on my wide receiver stripping a defensive back with 3 minutes left in the game that I'm losing
I
by
know,
8 points.
I know, but I think every team has to rely on a little bit of luck.
Yeah,
unless
well,
you're,
unless you're
unless
good.
Unless you're a juggernaut like the
exactly.
Patriots.
Exactly.
But that's like once-in-a-generation type team.
No.
Well, it's been like four times in this generation of Patriots teams. 3, 4, 7, 11. Those were all like legitimate Super Bowl winning teams.
That's why
they
I'm
didn't
a honk.
Win it. So who was better, 06 or 01?
I'd
better
say
team?
06.
01.
You think 01?
Oh, yeah. Much better defense.
Well, I'd say the defense was better, yeah. But I think the offense was much better in 06.
I don't.
Really?
They scored about the same amount of points.
Brady was a much better player in 06 than he was
that,
in 01.
Yes.
That wasn't the question that was
Which
asked.
Is why
that
he
makes
could
the
carry,
offense better.
No, he could carry Ben Watson and Rishay Caldwell and Jabari
Gaffney. In the corpse of Corey Dillon. They had Antoine Smith in his prime.
I think
in
special
01.
Teams defense all around the 01 team was much better. They made timely plays.
You want to talk about luck.
0-1 team was better.
Oh, the 0-1 team had a tremendous amount of fortune. No question about it.
They were also good.
The 0-6 team did, too.
Number two, last year before Edelman went down, he looked pretty good. And I have high hopes that he will want to step up in that and that security blanket for Brady.
Now, which one is he? Is he a year five jumper, Edelman?
Stop it.
Yeah, but you got to give him a little. I mean, he went into the NFL playing a position he had never played before. I mean, so you got to give him a little bit of time there that normally.
I wasn't far off. It was they scored 385 points in 06 and 371 in 01. Not really much of a difference. Two touchdown difference.
Just so you know, when you say things like that definitively, I assume you know what you're talking about.
Should I
not make that assumption?
I didn't realize it was that. I didn't realize it was that close. Let's put it that way.
Okay,
that's pretty close.
Pencil it in. Start arguing with Paul, even when he sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Number three, and this one is not always a guaranteed point, but whenever I listen to such fine analysts as yourselves, I'm comforted because there isn't an analyst I have heard who is casting the Patriots away.
No one's casting them away.
I'm casting
them away as much as anyone, and I got them winning the division and going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I don't think there's very many people that are casting
And the
them
last
away.
Line in the email
is,
we can do this in looking forward to watching games with my son. Thank you.
No, you're missing the point.
Somehow this makes him vindicated?
You had a 50-50 shot of
right.
No, I think you actually probably looked down and saw a son somehow.
No.
And
even, but I don't care if he saw it or not. Andy just had it right. You had a 50-50 shot of being right. You were right.
No,
it was either a boy or a girl.
I assumed.
Based on the information,
based on the information we had,
you had a 50-50 shot.
There was a boy's onesie.
You were right, Fred. Fred, you were right.
Thank you.
Good job.
Ankit from Bergen County, New Jersey.
Nice. I know
Ankit?
Bergen County well.
How do you spell Ankit?
A-N-K-I-T.
Upper Saddle River.
Ankit.
It's not Bergen County.
Have we ever had that name before?
Does it have something to do with Northeastern or CAA?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right.
That's my past love life.
Do you guys think they're going to have as inconsistent a season as 09?
I think there could be a possibility you see some similarities to 09, and maybe not coincidentally, Andy, same opponents, the NFC South, right? Atlanta, New Orleans, those kind of teams. I think those are the kinds of teams that I'm a little concerned about because potentially you could get in a shootout with in Atlanta or New Orleans, and I'm not sure you have the weaponry to come out ahead in those kinds of games.
I don't know how the schedule goes. I need to memorize the schedule.
They play Atlanta pretty early, like week four, maybe.
No, I know, but for inconsistency, if you go Atlanta, Buffalo, then you go New Orleans, Jets, well, it looks like you're inconsistent, but you're just alternating bad opponents with good opponents.
Oh, so I see. You're talking about in terms of the inconsistency.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I think you could win one, lose one, just because, you know, those seven games that we deemed difficult games or whatever.
Right.
If those are spread out almost evenly throughout the year, you're going to look inconsistent.
I see what you're saying. I would say that if they lose four or five games and look bad in them, I don't care if they win four in a row and then lose one and then win four in a row and lose one. To me, you'd be inconsistent, even though that's pretty consistent play. If you're able to win, you know, if you're able to win four out of every five, that's pretty good. That's how
you lose, man.
Right. But that's what I'm talking about.
If you get blowed out by Atlanta, it's different than 35-32 shootout.
Remember the games in 09, it was like they got blowed out by New Orleans. And, it seemed like every time they played a quality team, Bill would have that same line. I just can't get these guys to play the way I need them to play.
So is the NFL film
going
to be here this year? Follow the team?
I'm sure they'll have some presence.
Did you find it interesting that we signed that big deal with Microsoft? I mean the NFL, the Shield. And then the announcement...
Putting yourself in there now.
Oh, yeah. The announcement came that we are one of eight teams, the Patriots. I'm throwing a lot of wee's around here. Wee French. That we're part of that 18 consortium of injury on an iPad.
Yeah. I haven't heard about that. I didn't know that it was only eight teams.
Yeah, it's eight teams. We're one of them.
I didn't know that we were... Until I read that, I had no idea.
And I just thought it was interesting that it was a USA Today story. There was quotes. It was that they even allowed the idea of iPad. No. It'll be a Surface tablet. Shouldn't they be pimping the Microsoft product?
You would think.
Because there was talk when they signed that deal. You could still use iPads on the sideline. You just have to cover them up. It's like, you know, you're going to have to spat your iPad, cover the Apple, and make it so it's not obvious it's an iPad.
Right.
Is the Surface tablet just dead? Is that like a debacle of a...
I was reading somewhere where they have like 900,000 that they haven't sold of Surface.
Kind of sounds like
a lot. No, I'm sorry. They're 900 million less than what they thought they were going to make. $900 million less.
That doesn't sound good.
Microsoft. So it was a write down in their...
Oh, yeah.
You know? And, you know...
So it sounds like a failure.
The people that have, you know...
How come it seems like Microsoft fails all the time
and it's
still
massive? The people that have reviewed the Surface, they say it's a really nice piece of equipment, but it just hasn't caught on because Windows 8
sucked.
Didn't really catch on, you know?
You haven't used a Surface?
I have not. No.
What's the Google Nexus thing?
That's just an Android tablet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, does that use Cupcake or Apple Pie?
I don't know, Honeycomb. I don't know.
You're such a loser.
They call all their operating systems gay stuff.
I know.
Excuse me, I didn't mean gay. I meant I didn't like him.
I mean,
I know there was a reason why you
deeper.
Yeah, I know there was a reason why you were throwing the terms.
I'm trying not to say that stuff anymore. That's my New Year's resolution.
Good. I commend you for that.
It's not fair. It's hard to do though. Once you've been saying it for so long,
hard to do.
Yeah. I don't have any problem with it. I just try to keep it off the air.
You should hear the stuff he says off the air.
I'm just kidding.
Turns the clock back 50 years.
I'm just kidding.
Nick says, great role play, Andy. Now do one from A Few Good Men. Fred is Tom Cruise. Andy is Jack Nicholson. Bill. We did that earlier with the back and forth.
You think it could get that contentious?
Fred says, Bill, order the code red? Andy, you want answers? Fred, I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. On a serious note, do you guys feel as good as I do about the return game this season? For the first time, I can't remember. Tom will have the best starting field position to help his young offense moving as long as Edelman and Washington stay healthy.
I am
sure.
I am optimistic about the return game. I think they've improved in that area, especially based on what I saw this spring of Leon Washington. I thought he had a good spring in his step during the spring.
Fred, you follow a lot of those news people. I remember how giddy you got when we saw one at the airport that time.
Who are you looking forward to seeing tomorrow?
And who is Bill Belichick least looking forward to seeing tomorrow? What face in the crowd would Bill go, ruh-roh, as a questioner?
Okay.
Like Anderson Cooper or...
I'm not sure that he would feel like that about anybody.
Yeah.
Wow, he does have big balls.
Wow.
But don't you think that...
The fine line thing?
The bigger the name, from a news side that shows up, the more Bill will just smirk at him.
Yeah, until they're going back and forth.
He's more likely to give Tom Curran a better answer than Anderson Cooper if he showed up.
So there's no one. Because to me, if there's someone who's really good at that, who's used to dealing with politicians and presidents.
No one.
Well, just because you don't fear anyone doesn't mean you're accurate.
That's what I think.
You could be cocky because you've been batting around local yokels for so long, and the little smile that he will give that, no doubt. He'll scan the crowd. You know,
I don't think he'll smile while skirting Hernandez.
He'll smile when he walks in. That works for Jeff Howe. That works for Tom Curran. I'm assuming that doesn't work with people who are used to dealing with real-world issues all the time, and you're not buying me with a smirk. I'm going to ask you the damn hard question.
You looking forward to seeing anybody tomorrow, Fred? Any of your idols?
Wolf Blitzer?
Would I be looking forward to seeing anyone tomorrow?
I think Anderson Cooper would be pretty cool if he were here. I like Anderson Cooper.
He's not going to come here. Are you kidding me?
If I were Bill and Anderson Cooper were in the audience, whoops.
But is he like a controversial figure?
No, but he's like the marquee.
But you know, if he comes here, he's going to have a special arrangement to have a one-on-one with him.
Right.
Yeah, I would want to know who the hard line guy is, and I don't know, and I don't watch those shows enough to know.
Right, like Geraldo Rivera shows
Well, he's just a clown.
But, not
to me, if I'm Bill, I can treat him like a clown and nobody will think differently of it. But Anderson Cooper, to me, is respected. You know, a Tom Brokaw, those guys are respected. I know they're anchors more than questioners.
Right.
But if the guy is respected and you treat him like you've treated some local sports reporters, you will look bad.
Maybe John Quinones will come. What would you do?
Right.
Nah, never mind.
Oprah.
It'd
be pretty funny if Oprah was sitting in the front row. Bill just starts crying. I don't know. They always do it.
Here's a question. Who do you think from
they beat me down.
As in terms of sports journalists, forget about news. Who do you think is the toughest sports journalist out there? The guy that gets it done, tough questioner, doesn't take any BS.
Who's the toughest sports journalist you know? Or you think you know?
I don't even know
Sal Pal?
I don't even know if I have.
Sal Pal has an edge to him. Sal Pal can be the biggest softball tosser on the planet, but at times it's like all of a sudden he flicks a switch and he goes bulldog.
Right.
He did Sal it in that, that Miami that. Game.
Sal Pal has that, which could happen.
Remember that game in Miami? That was the ace game when he said it, when Eric gave him some lip. Right. He had like a real controversy. I forget what it was specifically.
And he got kicked out of the Jets draft.
But I don't really think of any of the guys as being like saying like, oh, that guy, he's tough.
I think you'd actually
a lot of tough questions. I don't. I
maybe the
think
most dangerous would be someone we don't know.
How about Armand Katayan?
No, he's in Bill's back pocket. Holy crap! It's hard to ask questions.
He's a very respected professional.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. But I don't necessarily think of him as a hardline tough guy.
I'd be more worried.
How about Bryant Gumbel? Not the announcer, the brother.
The host?
No, I know who Bryant Gumbel is. Thanks.
I'd be more worried about a guy we don't necessarily know, a younger guy who's looking to make his bones. And maybe this is a chance to open some eyes that I'm the guy that's going to put Bill Belichick under the spotlight and rake him over the coals.
But so many of them are so firmly entrenched.
How about
Silver and
the redheaded? Who's for CNN now? With the ba.
The redheaded?
Used to be with ESPN. Thinks she's hot. Does the quarter angle stand-ups. Red hair.
Oh.
You know her.
Yeah, I know.
Her.
She looks like a witch.
Yes. She works for CNN.
Rachel Nichols?
She's on CNN now. What about her? You think she could come and be that hammer?
She wasn't when she was in sports.
No, but maybe it's different now.
She went from ESPN to CBS to CNN.
Oh, she's at CBS? I thought she was at CNN.
Because she was doing the
she's
NCAA.
She's not doing sports anymore.
No, she did the whole NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she works. I'm pretty sure she works for CNN, but
CNN?
I might be wrong.
I
don't think of her as being tough at all.
No, but she has an edge to her.
She does?
Oh, yeah.
I'd never seen it.
Yeah, I've seen her give attitude to people.
And how about Michelle Tafoya?
No.
I just don't look at any of those as being
tough.
Edgy.
I think it's the guy he'd
Sal
Pal
is the only guy I could see any edge to that has been mentioned. But I don't really look at any of them.
What about the other guy, Joe for ESPN, with the mustache, tall, thin guy with blondish hair?
Ed Werder?
Ed Werder.
Joe.
You know who I was thinking? Joe Weider, the barbell guy.
Who?
You know Weider barbells?
Is it Weider or Weider?
Weider. Joe Weider. Yeah.
It says his name on everything. Like he invented weightlifting.
Ed Werder.
No.
No? Okay.
I have another question. Can Bill pull off sympathetic? Isn't the best way to leave this to be a sympathetic figure? To leave that press conference where, yeah, he was in a tough situation. I feel bad for him. Can he pull that off? Can he leave people painting him as the sympathetic?
He could. How? There's a way to do that.
Is he capable?
Yeah.
I'm saying him, like, facially, his whole persona, is Mr. Stoic, stone-faced, capable of pulling off the act of
sympathetic figure. I think for him it'd be tough.
I do, too.
But I think a person could.
Oh, I think a person could. I think a lot of people have in these scandals. You know, and I think that's how he leaves tomorrow's press conference painted in a sympathetic light. I don't think he can pull it off.
Right.
I agree.
But isn't that what you want? I mean, oh, yeah, he just got screwed by a bad situation. And, you know,
I think in a lot of ways, Robert Kraft came away as a sympathetic figure.
But he can do that.
Last week.
He's more capable of doing that. Bill Belichick has built a career on not being sympathetic in any way.
Yes or no, does Bill reference Robert Kraft's sit down tomorrow?
He
does. I think he does.
But I don't
too.
Think that I don't think that can stand alone.
No, I think he references it.
I don't think he can have it be I think that Mr. Kraft spoke for the organization. I really don't have anything further to add to that. I don't think he can get away with that. But he can say I would only reiterate what Mr. Kraft said and then say it, whatever he's reiterating.
Right.
But I do,
as simple as Mr. Kraft said in his you know, we're limited in some of the things we can talk about, blah, blah, blah. But if you just go up there and say, I stand by that, you may literally get a reporter who says, what the F are we here for then?
Right.
Like, somebody could get belligerent.
And that's when I say it becomes a negative story for your organization because you didn't come across well. And again, it's not about what they owe us. It's not about the media and all that, but I'm just telling you, if you know, for lack of a better term, if you screw around with this one, you're going to look bad.
Well, the issue you face tomorrow is You can leave that with a positive of how you handled it in a negative situation, or you can leave with a second negative situation. Not only did they screw up Aaron Hernandez or whatever you believe of that, they screwed up telling us information yesterday. They screwed up the event of the press conference.
They're still not taking it seriously.
Right. They made it another negative situation. And that's what you want to avoid, is compounding negative with another negative.
Brian of Brighton has a good one. Jim Rome. You think he could do?
No, he's a clown.
Okay.
I always look at him as a paper tiger, but, you know, maybe. I don't know. Like Dan Le Batard. Yeah. You know, one of those guys. Yeah, no, that's not a bad.
How about
Jim Rome's not a bad guy.
A crazy guy in New York. He used to be with Franzano and
Chris Russo.
Chris Russo.
No. Aren't they boys with Belichick or something? One of them is.
Yeah, well, Francesa is.
Oh,
maybe I'm sorry.
Maybe
Francesa boys with
Parcells.
Parcells.
And Mad Dog always makes fun of Belichick. Belichick.
What about the guy in Chicago? Doesn't he consider himself a badass?
The guy late night radio?
No. That would be awesome. You're talking about guys you'd like to see. I'd like to see him. No, the guy, the columnist, he was in a very controversial.
Oh, Jay Mariotti?
Is he gay or slap somebody?
His
boyfriend?
Had like a domestic.
Oh, Mariotti. He's not.
Jay Mariotti.
Oh, what about the guy in Denver? That's always writing.
Woody Page?
Not Page. The other guy.
I thought the guy that was on our show, I'd like to see him do it. Mike Kliss.
His name escapes me.
It's got to be Woody Page. That's what you're thinking of.
Big guy, African American guy, always.
Jason Whitlock.
Whitlock,
Kansas City.
Oh. Kansas City. Okay, why did I think he was Denver?
I have worked with Fred way too long.
Whitlock could be interesting.
I have worked with you way too long.
Yeah.
Ed Werder and Jason Whitlock. He described nothing of those guys. Based on the information I had, there's no way I should have gotten them.
You know, the guy who made the weights.
Beleaguered in Princeton writes, and I've been listening to PFW at times this summer with all the nonsense going on leading up to the latest episode of The Manson Family Goes to New England. Okay. Gronk had five surgeries, never missed a party. Tebow brings God's wrath down on New England. Hernandez, as we were to find out, had shoulder surgery. I bet you forgot that one. Leaving the tight end position in flux until they heal. Hint, it could be a while. The promising young replacement for Welker, Amendola, Edelman, and Boyce goes out on IR. My favorite stooge, Moe. A possible breakup of cornerback field of felons just when we finally find a young corner that doesn't blow. I think that was supposed to be a part.
I think so, too, and you blew it.
Yeah, anyway. Did I leave anything out? Brian Morey is thrown out of PFW booth by a power mad Eric Thursday. These are certainly dark days indeed.
That happened, Fred.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Really?
Oh, those two alpha a-holes were butting heads.
Really?
Oh,
very
yeah.
contentious.
Well, I missed all this. No one told me about it. What happened?
Contentious.
We only have a few more minutes. What happened?
They're both
Brian
pompous
came
a-holes.
In to talk about the new exhibit they have. The covers.
Yeah.
All the SI covers with the Patriots on them. And Eric, who was sitting in your chair, all of a sudden just decided to give himself your power and, you know, was trying to kick him off the show.
Really?
And I think Brian...
But without your endearing funny nature.
Right.
He's just being an a-hole.
And I think Brian was getting annoyed the fact that Eric was, like, telling him to leave. So I think he stayed longer intentionally. And, it was...
oh, that's great.
What did you call them? Alpha a-holes.
But Brian was really mad.
We didn't get
he
Brian.
Actually talked about it like 2 days later. Yeah,
we didn't get Brian out of here until Andy and I brought up his
I'll
love
get
life.
Brian going on this one.
Well, I got Brian to leave by finally go, so Brian, how's your love life? I know you've been bouncing between 20-somethings and 60-somethings. How's that going? And he got really uncomfortable.
He got really, like, red.
And he just kind of backed away. And laughed.
I'll get Brian going on that one. Jim from Walpole will finish up. He says Ron Borges in terms of... But he doesn't do it like that in person. He does it in his column.
Yeah, well, he used to do it in person. He doesn't do it
anymore.
Well,
he does it with Pete Carroll.
No, he used to do it with Bill, but he doesn't do it anymore because I think he feels like it's a losing battle.
And he's a little bit of a bully.
Oh,
he wouldn't do it in this situation.
I don't think he would do it in a situation like this because it's serious.
Right.
It's not. This is real life.
Plus, he has something to lose on a local level.
Yeah.
I think it has to be a national guy that has nothing to
lose
locally.
But Borges has that edge, no question. I don't think we'll see it. I don't think we'll see it.
Brian Lowe just comes out swinging. And by the way, I resign.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
One more hour.
Tomorrow, Tomorrow's Tuesday?
No,
Wednesday.
Tomorrow,
2 p.m.
2 o'clock.
Bill, are we running that live, I assume?
Yes. Live on Patriots.com. Bill
Belichick. Thursday, we'll talk about it.
Thursday, we'll be back at noon. And then Friday, we're on.
Football, finally.
All right. See you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.